but we're all out of crack.
You might be all out of crack.
Oh, okay. Sorry. We're not back in black, but we've hit the sack, and it's been so, long that we're glad to be back.
That's a fact, Jack.
Ooh, a little Stripes quotation there. For those of you not familiar with one of the greatest films of all time, please do yourself a favor and watch Stripes. It is Free Talk Live. It is the Sunday night edition. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. If you want to call in, talk about whatever's on your mind. You can talk about what we're going to talk about or bring up anything that you want. That's why it's called Free Talk Live. Stardate, nope, Captain's Log, Stardate 03312024. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will, LLC. Joining me,
Kahuna.
And Richie Rich.
Before we get started today.
Didn't we already get started?
Before we continue getting started.
Okay. Well, we started, right? Like, we announced the show. We gave out the phone number. Okay.
Before we talk about show prep. Before Richie Rich can insert another semantic and be more flit or pedantic. Today.
Or words I don't understand.
Is supposed to be Nikki Sunshine's last day on this show. And obviously she's not here. Filling in for her tonight, of course, is Kahuna.
Okay.
So I just want to publicly give her crap on the radio.
Okay.
Because, like, the past 3 weeks I've been like, hey, you know, that last week in March is Easter Sunday. I know sometimes you go do things, and I know you're about to give birth and all that kind of thing. So, like, we're good. Yeah, no, we're good.
Okay.
And so, like, 3 weeks in a row, the same kind of conversation.
Is she giving birth? Like,
no.
Is she currently
in labor?
No,
she's trying to, like, visit family.
Oh.
You know, because she's about to give birth, right? So Easter Sunday, families get together, so she's probably going to be able to see more of them on a day like today than any other day. So she pinged me, and she's like, hey, I'm not going to do the show on Sunday. And I'm like, that's all right. I'll get Kahuna to fill in for you. But so anyway, that's all. I just want to take care of that little bit of business and give her some crap.
Can we also make Breastfeeding Friday a real thing? Because I mentioned it. I said, look, she'll be back for Breastfeed Friday.
And it has an interesting acronym as well, BFF.
Right.
Which already is like a household term.
Okay.
As far as like texting and all that stuff. Yeah. Although it doesn't mean Breastfeeding Friday.
It
would be interesting to co-opt that as you're my BFF, right? You know,
like, can you hashtag that on X now? Can we get that going?
Get it trending?
I'm not in charge of Fridays. So
okay. All right. Well,
you might have to talk to Wizard Number One.
Yeah.
If you can ever get a hold of him.
Okay.
Or Wizard Number Two. Whatever.
No, it won't. I like the Friday format the way it is because I do like Gardner Goldsmith.
He's
but there's no other day that it rolls off the tongue, you know. Right?
Yeah, you're right.
It would have to be Breastfeed Fridays.
Yeah.
We'll just move Gardner somewhere else if we're gonna do it. Live on Odyssey. Watch Nikki feed a baby.
It is Easter Sunday, in case you don't have a calendar or a clock. Or you haven't looked outside
notice everything's closed today for the most part.
Yeah, or you haven't, you know, seen kids running around with, like, baskets or whatever. It is Easter Sunday. It's my duty on these types of days to remind all the children who are listening that the Easter Bunny is not real. It's just your parents.
Oh, that was me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Same thing with the Tooth Fairy, you know, Santa Claus, right? Ooh. All these things, right? They're just your parents. They're
government.
Fake. Government, yeah, fictitious entities, right? Things that don't really exist. Uncle Sam, fictitious character, right? Made up, but I mean, this Uncle Sam isn't your parents. It's you know,
McGruff the crime dog,
also a fictitious character.
Smokey the bear,
Ooh, Smokey
the frog.
Smokey and McGruff, like teaming up for like a cartoon adventure might be interesting. We should ask AI to make a Smokey McGruff. You know, like a Bruckheimer film.
That would be
But starring
cool.
Smokey the Bear.
Yeah. And McGruff the Crime Dog.
Lots of explosions and, you know, cars flipping over and, you know, that kind of a thing. That'd be fun. That would be fun. I'd watch that.
Produced by Jerry Bruckheimer?
Yeah.
Or Michael Bay?
Or both.
Okay.
A Bayheimer.
Okay.
A Bayheimer film.
Get on that AI.
Yeah. What was I doing? Oh, we're doing a show.
Well, we were getting ready to start the show.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we really haven't started yet.
And so where
kinda,
do we start?
Sort of.
Well, I did the star date and the captain's log and the monikers. So.
Well, and the happy Easter and, you know, to all the Christians celebrating.
Okay, like, so we got over
stole
that.
Stolen from the pagans and the Babylonians. And let's.
Right, and Easter eggs are really Lucifer's testes.
Okay.
And I think that's all the business stuff to get out
Since
of the way.
Since when do bunnies lay eggs? That's a weird one, too.
It's called interspecies erotica, if you're not familiar with Clerks 2.
That comes out of Japan, doesn't it?
Why did the chicken cross the road?
It's where the bunny lived.
to have his way with the bunny, apparently.
Ooh,
there we
nice.
Go. Yeah, this is where Easter eggs come from.
Also weird, because, you know, if the bunny's laying the eggs, then it's not a chicken, right? It's a rooster.
Is the bunny laying the eggs? I mean, who's the receiver and who's the giver?
Yeah, is the bunny laying the eggs or collecting them? That's a good question.
Yeah.
The bunny impregnates the chicken and the chicken lays the eggs.
Yeah.
And the bunny goes and collects them.
There you go.
That's what I'm thinking. That seems to be a little more reasonable, at least in imaginary expectations.
All right. We'll see what AI thinks.
Again, 603-283-6160 if you'd like to call in. Because it is Easter Sunday, I feel, as a heavy metal guy, I feel obliged to talk about the devil. And we do have this story from metro.co.uk.
Quality source.
Of course, yeah. Totally tabloid. A haunting new horror film based on the devil actually made $666,666 on opening weekend.
That's how you know God is real.
Mm-hmm. Israel?
Could not be faked. This is not coincidental. This is prophecy.
I mean, just based on some numbers. I mean, come on. I used to, like, back in the
day. 666 twice on Easter weekend. No coincidences.
Back in the day, I used to go into this burger joint with my brother, and I ordered a thing, and it came out to $6.66 for my meal. And I was like, oh, that's awesome, right? So the next time we go in, I order the same thing, right? And me and my brother are standing there, and, like, as they're punching the numbers in, we both point at the register and go, 666 right before the price pops up, and we freaked out the cashier. She's like, you know, she took a deep breath and was like we somehow knew what the total was going to be before the computer.
Right.
We did, of course, because we'd been in there a week ago or whatever it was, right? But she didn't know that. She's like, how did you guys know that? And we're like, you know.
The little old lady at the grocery store is like 666, and she just puts a pack of gum on there. And just
right. You're like, oh, no, we can't have that. Here, let me buy a piece of beef jerky no one will ever eat.
Right. Yeah. Just to not have those numbers.
But the company I used to work for, when we have clients, we actually give them numbers, like on our server, right?
Yeah.
And a few years ago, and it was one of my new clients, and I didn't realize it, but it got assigned 666.
Ah.
And so I actually...
Was his name Damien?
Lucifer.
So I contacted the person that's in charge of that, and I said, you know, is there any way we can change that? Just I kind of wanted to skip it, right? Even though it's kind of cool, because the client contact is like the nicest person.
Yeah,
she's like, well, not really. Like it's in there, blah blah blah. I'm like, okay, but yeah, that's kind of cool.
See, and I'm in control of our extensions at work, and I purposely gave myself the extension 6.
Oh, you did?
I can't say that I've ever done this, at least in public.
Okay.
But I know of people who've done this, particularly because I do telephone sister. That was my day job for a long time. And like you reserve that for either, you know, somebody named Damien,
right?
Or the biggest a-hole, right, at that company, mm-hmm. right? Because I would do systems for other companies, right. And so you'd meet a bunch of people. You'd be like, all right, who is the biggest jerk?
Yeah.
You're getting extension 666, right? Or 0666, or whatever it is. You know, however many digits they use. I can't say that I've ever done that. But, you know, I've been told that that's been done.
What does that say about me, then? Because I did it to myself, because it's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, if I were
I still working, might be the biggest a-hole in the company, but, you know.
These things do not necessarily...
it's not mutual. It's mutually exclusive. Right.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Yeah. My brain wouldn't work in mutually exclusive. All right. I want to tell you guys something else. I've told this on Free Talk Live many a time, but it took me two attempts to move here. The first attempt, I failed miserably. I hit black ice. I flipped my Toyota 4Runner and the trailer I was towing behind it. I like to say I almost died or whatever, but like if anybody had been in the passenger seat, they totally would have been dead. That whole passenger side roof was like caved in and, you know, that kind of thing. So why am I retelling this? Because one of the things I haven't told about this story was my friends threw like a going away captain party, right? You know, not the night before, but like the night before the night before.
Okay.
And
reasonable when you're leaving town.
Right. So I certainly got a good night's sleep and all that before, you know, all this kind of stuff. But my friend Dan, who has since passed away, he obtained one of these, you know, you go in the big cities, you go to these parking lots, and they'll have like numbers that they assign you on these pieces of paper or whatever that you're supposed to put on your dash.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he found one that's relatively big. So the numbers are, I don't know, 4 inches tall or something, but it was the number 666.
Nice.
And he had left it under my windshield wiper for me to find the next day, which I found. And I, of course, took off, but I left it in the truck. And so then I got into the accident and
it
everything.
It was an omen.
And now people are like, yeah, if you hadn't have done that, you'd have made it the first time, right? This kind of thing. So that's why I'm telling you that right now.
See, no coincidences.
Right. Is because
everything happens for
there.
A reason.
I was there. Now, in that same token.
Sometimes reason is you're dumb and make bad decisions.
That's most of the what's, yeah. To say that you, like, most people don't look at me and go, you're dumb. Some people do. But
they just go like, you look dumb.
But I go, it's better than looking smarter than you actually are, right?
I guess.
Because you don't want somebody to come up and be like, hey, you look smart. And you're like, dee, 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 dee.
You can fool a lot of chicks by looking smart.
That's just classes, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
See?
And I forgot my train of thought.
666 on the dashboard.
Yeah, or something about it. Well, at any rate.
All right.
We'll just move on now. Let's talk about this movie.
Is it a good movie? Is it a British movie?
I've not seen it. Have you?
I don't know what the movie is. Did you even read the title?
I did not, but you put this in show prep.
So, I didn't read the title.
Then why'd you put it in show prep?
Because it was 666 on Easter.
That's late Night with the Devil, right?
Good reason. Late Night with the Devil. Yes. How did you know?
Because he's reading the article.
Read the article, man.
You're freaking clairvoyant, man. Do you want to
read it?
How'd
you know?
Do you want to read it? Or,
No.
Okay. Late Night with the Devil.
Not out loud. I'm shy.
Late Night with the Devil did scary numbers this weekend at the box office.
Spooky.
Finally came to cinema screens. Starring the Dark Knight and Prisoners icon, David Dostmalchian. I'm probably butchering that name. The chilling horror film follows late night talk show host Jack Del Roy, whose mysterious past comes back to haunt him during a special episode of his TV program, Night Owls.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a fictional tale, obviously. The found footage film.
Ooh, like the Blair Witch Project.
Is made up of tapes from the fateful 1977 Halloween episode, as well as behind-the-scenes snippets of the terror on set. It garnered terrifying reputation from early screenings, with King of Horror Stephen King urging people to watch the film, and he wasn't the only one, with Haunting of Hill House and Fall of the House of Usher creators Mike Flanagan also agreeing.
I'll start paying attention when it hits the torrent sites.
Right? See if you can be downloader number 666.
That would be cool. Commenter 666.
There you go, yeah. You just wait. You're waiting. You're waiting. No, 664. Nope.
Remember when being first was a thing? And people just type first.
First, yep.
They're only,
yeah. I may have done that.
My point stands.
After its cinema release on Friday, the film amassed a whopping $2.8 million, or $2.21 million in pounds.
Close enough.
Across its opening weekend, garnering a truly apt $666 on Sunday night alone.
There you go.
So wait a minute. It's Sunday night right now, but the UK is
a week behind.
A week behind?
Well, this was
that's one hell of a time zone across. Can I go to England?
As long as they make up time zones, you can say whatever.
Can I go to England a week ago and buy lottery tickets here from last week and win?
I think you can.
Yeah.
I'll have to try that.
Take the over on the bridge collapse.
Right.
Because nothing was going under.
Right, yeah. Well, the whole bridge went under, but yeah. Hey, I asked this last night of whoever was here. Richie Rich in Kahuna, you maybe heard this, but somebody claimed on the internet that the captain of the ship that ran into the Baltimore Bridge is unknown.
Okay.
No one. Have you heard who the captain is?
Of like that? Unknown as in, they don't know the name?
They might not have released it. They know who it is.
Well, somebody must know who it is, but it seems odd that like the person in charge of said ship has not been named.
Yeah, I mean, arguably that's the most important person on the ship because they're in charge of
the whole
navigating
thing.
Right. Supposedly. Yeah.
Well, unless they're considered a safety threat, right, because of how much damage that was done.
Yeah, could be, yeah.
And unless you're a conspiracy theorist, right, the narrative of the bridge collapse is the ship lost power.
Correct.
And could not steer.
Yes.
And so it wasn't necessarily the captain's fault. Right. And if you put that burden on him by naming him and like, oh, my God, he's responsible for the death of 6 migrant workers filling in potholes and all this other, you know, that might not be necessary until it can be determined that a crime was committed and he's responsible. Now, the conspiracy theorists go like, well, if you speed this up like 8 times, he clearly makes a right hand turn and aims directly toward the pillar.
Yeah, but if you slow it down 8 times, it looks like he's obviously intoxicated and swerving out of the lane of consideration.
If you reverse it, he fixes the bridge for you by pulling it back upright as he backs into the harbor.
If only it worked that way. That's like the old joke about what do you get when you play a country western record backwards. You get your dog back, your girl back, your gun back, your truck back.
Truck works.
Yeah. All the stuff starts, you know, going well for you. Anyway, so this film garnered $666,666 on Sunday. Easter Sunday. That's right.
In England.
Well, okay. Which, you know, is England evil?
Of course.
Okay.
It's like the biggest empire in the history of the world pre-United States.
That's true.
Right? The sun never sets on the British Empire as a thing because of how massive that thing was.
And for such a small area, too, to like have become an empire, like what we know as England today.
Right? They're responsible for like hundreds of Independence Days or something to that effect.
Yeah. Almost as bad as the United States is now.
That's what I'm saying. Except no one has an Independence Day going, oh, this is the day we finally got the yoke of the United States off us. Like, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of countries that celebrate, like, the release of the yoke of the British Empire.
Don't the Brits have, like, the Guy Fawkes Day or something? Not the, you know?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean,
is that?
What's the point of that?
I don't know. Like, you know, he burned down some buildings or something.
No, he tried to blow up Parliament, much like the V for Vendetta movie suggests.
Yeah.
But he failed, and they caught him, and they hung him.
Oh, well, that sucks. Well, too bad.
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry, I was thinking of the movie.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. No, also fictional.
Yeah, but, I mean, what's the dude from The Matrix?
Neo? Morpheus?
No.
Keanu Reeves?
No, the agent.
Agent Smith?
Yeah, he's the guy who plays V.
The voice of V, yes.
Yeah.
Hugo Weaving.
Hugo Weaving, thank you. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Does a bang up job, man.
Absolutely. Like, love that movie. I watch it once a year on November 5th.
Yeah. I try to, but sometimes I forget and watch it on the 6th.
The whole thing is remember the 5th of November. How are you forgetting this?
You know?
Just rolls around and goes, oh, there's something I was supposed to do today.
Do, do, do. Marijuana effects. Oh.
Gotta get yourself some more crack.
Sometimes, you know, or I've had to work on that day. You know, stuff happens. I don't know.
I mean, I've also worked on that day, and I've watched it before work. But I've watched it during work.
I've watched it on November 4th as well.
Okay.
You know, I try to get as late as possible, you know, start it at 11.
No, I got started at midnight then. Just wait an hour.
So that, like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want to be sleeping by the time it ends, right?
All right.
Getting old, man. I fall asleep now watching stuff.
Okay. Fair enough.
Anyway, this film, what was it called? Late Night with the Devil. It also boasts a near-perfect Rotten Tomatoes score, sitting at 96% on the tomatometer.
Wow.
Is that how you say that? Or is it tomato meter?
Tomato meter.
Tomato meter.
You say tomato meter, I say tomatometer.
Like the odometer on your car?
Yes, that's how many odos your engine is producing.
It's a weird word.
Yeah. Anyway, with the critics' consensus hailing it delightfully dark, Late Night with the Devil proves possession horror isn't played out and serves as an outstanding showcase for David Dastmalchian.
It better not be, because they're coming out with the first Omen, so they're not playing out that yet.
What?
There's a new movie coming out called The First Omen.
Is it have anything to do with the reboot of The Omen and then the OG original series, The Omen?
I'm pretty sure it's in that vein.
Huh. Interesting. All right, I'll have to look into it. I'm a fan of the first three, the ones that were made in like the
70s, late 70s, 80s,
early 80s. Yeah. Mostly because they were like whatever things needed to happen that were horrific were done with practical effects. There was no CGI and all that kind of stuff. And like for having the balls to cover a dark, you know, sort of almost a franchise, if you will, because there were three of these movies. You know what I mean? Like they must have done well enough for them to make three of them, you know what I mean? So, like, there's obviously a market for this kind of a thing.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the classic franchises started back then.
Yeah.
So.
But then they tried to reboot it, and it sucked.
Yeah, all right, whatever.
So, which is happening way too often, in my opinion. Hollywood needs to figure out how to hire creative writers and make new stuff. Yeah.
AI's coming for you.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll help creative people be more creative, and it'll keep people who want to, you know, exploit them.
After the legalization of marijuana, too, you think they'd already be more creative.
Yeah. It's like,
use drugs, people. Yeah. We want entertainment.
Here, man. Oh, you're in a writing slump? Here, man. Have some OG Kush. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join us. More Free Talk Live is coming up. We also have a number two story in store for you.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury. Anyone with one Dash to spend can put forward a proposal to the Dash Masternodes. The Masternodes vet the proposals and decide which ones move forward and are funded by that treasury. Nowadays, DAOs are plentiful, but Dash paved the way by doing it first, nearly a decade ago. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
That's right. It's Free Talk Live. The telephone number, if you would like to call in and talk about what we're talking about, whatever you want to talk about, doesn't matter. Call 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain,
Kahuna,
and Richie Rich.
We were talking about this film, and I guess it's about the end of the article on it, too.
The highlight was the 666.
The highlight was this horror film called Late Night with the Devil. Did $666,666 on Sunday. So opening weekend Sunday, which is today for us, but this was released in the UK. So, yesterday for them, assumably, or at least sometime before now.
Sometime definitely before now, because that's how time works.
Yep.
Thanks, Richard.
As far as we know.
We can count on you to keep us straight on these highly technical details.
One-way time travelers. That's your service.
Unidirectional time traveling.
Okay, yes.
What do you do for a living? I'm a unidirectional time traveler.
That'll definitely confuse people.
Yeah. But then some people are like, oh, really? That's interesting. Me too.
What do you do during COVID when you can only go the opposite direction down the aisle?
We do have a number 2 story that I want to get to. Before we go there, we also have a caller on hold that we'll get to. But Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency made for spending. Dash transactions are irreversible, so Dash is great for merchants. Plus, its network is protected from 51% attacks by its chain locks technology. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org. All right, let's pick up this call. It's Tim in Florida. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, happy Easter. It's just
Hoppy Easter.
Hoppy Easter.
Hoppy Easter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had a few, but not as much as I want because I'm broke. But yeah, as far as it. Hops.
We're thinking Easter Bunny hops, not hops and barley.
Oh, right. I was thinking hops and barley. Easter Bunny hops. Okay. I had a dream when I was a little kid. I was like 3-4 years old, and I heard about the Easter Bunny, and I had a nightmare that he came and he smashed the trailer I was living in.
Wow. Hopping. That sounds like a nightmare. Yep. Like was he a Godzilla-sized Easter Bunny or?
Yeah, well, not as big as Godzilla, but maybe a quarter of the size of Godzilla, but big enough to do damage to a trailer.
Wow.
Oh no, there goes the trailer park. Go, 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 Easter Bunny.
Oh, wow.
No, it wasn't a trailer park. It was out in the country, but you could say it's a trailer park that where all the trailers are really spread out from each other on these.
Sorry, not roads. A trailer park, a parked trailer. My mistake.
Right.
While this rabid Easter Bunny was stomping your trailer, were there people inside? Were you inside? You know, did you escape? What happened?
I was inside. I don't remember in the dream if my parents were inside, but I was inside. And he was like hopping around, stomping on houses, and then he came to mine, and he's hopping, and I'm like, I think in the dream he was like just about to hop on the house, and I woke up.
Yeah. It's that whole thing, you can't die in dreams. Because if you die in a dream, you die in real life.
I'm just making a note here. I've put down, evil Easter Bunny stomps on man's trailer home.
That sounds about right.
I have a suspicion. As I think because I was raised Jehovah's Witness, I think my biological father probably told me the story that the Easter Bunny is a bad, bad thing and like not to pay attention. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's why I had a bad dream about it.
So the Easter Bunny is a bad thing, but still real in the Jehovah's Witness tradition.
It's a myth. But that was my dad wasn't that. I'm talking about my biological father now, and in that respect, he wasn't that bright. But that's how he wanted me to that's how he wanted me to stop asking about the Easter Bunny.
Okay.
And
did it work?
It traumatized me.
Did it work?
Wait, your dad traumatized you, or the dream about the evil Easter Bunny traumatized?
No, the story the dad told him led to the dream because it was traumatizing.
I'm speculating on my own past because I have a limited. I mean, I was very, very young, like 3 years old. I do remember the dream vividly, though.
Does the dream ever recur, or did it just happen the one time?
Nope, just one time. But it's funny, you know, people say you don't remember stuff when you're that young, but there's always some things you remember.
Like core memories.
Yeah.
That stick.
Yeah, I have a memory. The youngest memory I can recall is me actually. I'm standing atop of a staircase in like a townhome style residence, and I'm, you know, in a diaper. That's it, right? That's how young I am. You know, little, you know, I don't know, 1-2 years old, something like that. And I'm falling forward, about to take a tumble down the stairs head first.
Mm, okay. Right?
My biological sister sees this occurring. She's also upstairs. She sees me about to tumble, And what she does is she like comes up behind me and basically tackles me from behind, cradles me, and then she also like forward over the shoulder, you know, so we both sort of do this like ninja tumble right over her shoulder, right? So she hurt her back a bit, and you know, I had a couple of scrapes and bruises, but like basically she saved my ass, right? Okay. Like by, you know, just jumping on me, cradling me, and helping me tumble down the stairs. But like that's the youngest memory I have. And but I mean, like, I'm not afraid of stairs.
And then you talk to your biological parents and like, no, she died at childbirth. You don't really have a sister.
Like, no, that was somebody dressed as the Easter Bunny. No, just kidding.
Tim, that's just your uncle.
Tim, any further thoughts?
Yeah, a couple.
And that's not a carrot.
A couple or a few. The first being that in response to that, I had a walker in that same trailer, and there was one door that would open, and there were no stairs. And, of course, that was the door that I decided to run my walker out of. You know, I figured out how to open the door. So it probably explains a lot. But anyway, I sent a book to Aria called Return of the Gods. And
nice, man.
Nice segue, too.
I don't know. The only reason I bring it up, I'm not trying to bring it up on air. The only reason I bring it up, I'm wondering if she mentioned it to you, because I know you talked to her.
She has not mentioned it to me, although I haven't spoken to her in at least a week, so I don't know. The next piece of news I hope to hear from her is, hey, I'm getting out on this day, right? Hopefully that's the next thing I hear from her, but yeah.
Well, no, as far as the book, though, I don't know why saying, well, no, that's stupid because no has nothing to do with, it's a nervous tic. Anyway, the reason I sent her the book was because it's a complete, I want to call it like they're trying to apply the old gods that the Hebrews battled against, you know, to modern day things that are supposed to be bad. And she had it in her wish list, and I was surprised. So
nice.
I'm like, send this to her and see what she thinks, because I think it's a load of crap.
I want something to argue with on the radio when you get out of prison, Aria.
Yeah, if I believe you've set the stage nicely. We are operating under the assumption that Aria will be out late May, early June, something
That'd
like
be awesome.
That, before Porkfest and Forkfest. So I believe you've laid the proper groundwork for her return, so that you can, you know, give a call when she's back on the show and have this discussion with her. I know that they both Ian and Aria have received stuff from other people. So, you know, if you're sending letters and books and that kind of thing, they have received them, near as I can tell. So, you know, they're getting those kinds of things. Communications have been spotty, at least with me, for the last, you know, couple of weeks or so.
All right. And as long as we're talking about books, I will take recommendations on ebook readers not called Kindles.
Oh, non-Kindle.
You said that you would take recommendations where?
On ebook readers not called Kindles.
I hear you. I don't know. I don't know. Okay. You know, it's I try to find paper, you know, the real physical books whenever I can.
Yeah. All my books are in boxes in storage, and I can get, you know, thousands of books on my phone. But the phone size is not conducive to reading a book.
Yeah.
And
You got like a 300 pager or something, that stuff
right.
to read on your
and
phone.
And even, you know, I've had an iPad mini. That's a good size. But it's, you know, it's currently out of commission, and I don't want a full tablet.
I was going to say that my recommendation would be, have you tried the Android tablet?
Yes, I have several.
Okay.
I'm like a tablet whore. I've got a drawer full of tablets.
Oh, and those are too big for you?
Well, it's not that they're too big. It's I don't want an Android device. I want an ebook reader.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Gotcha.
Right. If it runs Android, fine. I've seen a few that run Android, but it's still like the e-ink paper and, you know, limited apps.
Yeah.
I don't want to be distracted. I just want something lightweight that looks like a book.
Yeah. Tim, final thoughts?
Yeah. So the Last American Vagabond, thelastamericanvagabond.com, you can go there. Ryan Christian is being sued by the IRS. For a year of quote-unquote misreported tax returns from the year 2012. Apparently, before he was really doing any work as far as like up until then, you know, he'd been doing everything free. And so this has nothing to do with his website, but they may try to seize his website. So I don't currently have the link, but if anybody's a fan of his site, I know he.
What did you say it was? LastAmericanVagabond.com?
Correct. And Whitney Webb, I know probably more people have heard of Whitney Webb than Ryan Christian. He hosts a lot of Whitney Webb stuff on there. And anyway, it looks like the IRS, according to his lawyer, this appears to be a personal attack. It doesn't appear to have anything to do with actually back taxes. It's just, you know, it looks like it's an attempt to shut down another, you know, another speaker. He doesn't have a radio show, obviously, but well, that might not be obvious, but he's got a podcast/ video stream. Anyway, just wanted to bring that up. He is accepting donations for his lawyer, but it appears to be, what's the old expression? The process is the punishment. Mm. It appears to be frivolous.
All right. Well, hey, Tim, thank you for not only bringing that up, but also sending a book to Aria. I'm sure that she appreciates it. We appreciate your call. Feel free to call us again, man. The only thing I could find is thelastamericanvagabond.com. So the word the in front of it. Okay. I went to the other one and it just was blank for some reason. I don't see anything on here about the subject Tim was talking about, but that doesn't mean it's not here. Just, you know, it looks like sort of a news site with a bunch of other stuff. So there you go. If you need it, put a the in front of it.
Or just ask Uncle Google. He'll point you in the right direction. Yeah.
Let's go to this next phone call. This is Mr. David Ridley calling. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey guys. I have a Who Would Build the Roads story from Winchester itself.
Okay.
Nice.
So as you know, I live in Winchester, New Hampshire, and I've been following just loosely. I'm not intimately familiar with it, but there's been an effort to try and save and or reconstruct a dam, an old, like a 95-year-old dam that made possible. It made possible.
And the government wants to hire beavers.
Made possible Forest Lake in Winchester, which is really our star feature.
Okay,
is that the one that washed out last summer with the floods?
Well, in 2021, July, I guess it reached record height. I've seen some photos of some damage on their website, which is forestlakenh.com.
Yeah.
And but the political thing that's interesting here is that most of the repair is being done with private donations. There's the town has jumped in to spend some money on it, but I do not, you know, technically I think the Forest Lake Improvement Association has asked for some assistance and they've received some. But it doesn't seem, you know, usually you get a vibe where it's like gimme, gimme, and you know, make the taxpayers fix everything. You don't get that vibe from the FLIA. It seems to be pretty much oriented towards, you know, collecting private donations. They need about $400,000 to fix the dam and you know, prevent it from suffering a lot more damage in a big flood or whatnot. And most of that, I'm trying to get to pull up the exact numbers, but most of that's been raised voluntarily so far. The town has only contributed a small amount.
Yeah,
I love it. And like, this is an illustration, too, of every government program should be a GoFundMe.
Well, my boss actually brought up, like, the Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
He's like, who do you think would build that without the government? I was like, I don't know, people who stand to make a profit by building it and can acquire the land rights. I don't, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes sense to me.
How far along are they towards the 400,000?
Looks like they've raised about 300,000. I'm trying to click on the donations page here. Looks like they've raised about 300,000 out of the roughly 400,000 they need, and they've collected about 300,000 of that. And it looks like the town, I'm thinking, has put in about, so it says 25,000 from the town of Winchester. But there's a drive in Winchester to get the town to give more. So in the end of it, I'm sure the town will probably give more. But right now, it's a pretty small amount, and I'm proud of that.
Do you get a tax write-off if you make a donation to this cause? Like, what's
They've they formed a 501c3. So what happens is, you know, again, if you want to donate, if anyone wants to donate, then just go to forestlakenh.com save a piece of the Free State.
So, like, the main things that we've come to find out here on Free Talk Live so far, when it comes to who will build the roads, is either
road builders,
people who stand to make a profit, land rights, and Domino's.
Domino's repairs the roads.
Pizza. At least they'll fill the potholes. Yeah, Domino's Pizza. Yeah,
I didn't know this. This is a few years ago.
Really? Yeah. Well, and it's recurred too. It's come up more than once where some neighborhood will have decrepit roads, and you know Domino's wants their pizza delivered, right?
Yeah, they don't want their people getting flat tires
right.
delivered.
So
pizza.
As a marketing ploy, they put together these Domino's Pizza road crews.
And I never heard of this.
Yeah, I don't mean to usurp what David's talking about because I think David's is far more poignant and also applicable to. Small towns and that kind of a thing.
Another interesting story, kind of similarly related, is the foundation of like the Michelin star restaurants.
Yes.
Are you familiar with this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
No. What's a Michelin star restaurant?
Like a really good restaurant. Okay. Like really good chef. You know, you can earn a Michelin star from the Michelin review.
I see. Okay. It's a rating system.
It's a rating system.
I got you. Okay.
But the Michelin rating system stems from the Michelin tire company.
The big puffy looking
like Michelin,
guy?
Yes, Michelin, Michelin man.
Yeah.
Right. And the reason behind the rating is they wanted people to buy more Michelin tires. So they would give these restaurants rating that make you drive far, wear out your Michelin tires to go to this good restaurant, and then you got to buy more Michelin.
So they're always like an out of the way places, kind of, sort of?
I mean, it started that way.
Okay.
Right. Whatever gets you on the road to go out, Michelin ratings.
Interesting. Mr. Ridley?
I should probably add the obligatory song version of their URL so everyone can remember it.
Do it.
ForestLakeNH.com.
Mr. David Ridley, thank you for the call. Feel free to call us again. 603-283-6160 is the number if you'd like to comment on any of that or bring up whatever's on your mind. Feel free. It's Free Talk Live for a reason.
And if you go to one of these Michelin restaurants, it's going to be like the smallest portion for the most amount of money you can possibly spend.
Oh, yeah, they're always fancy joints.
Yeah, fancy. The cloth napkins and the overpriced shrimp cocktail.
Your pate, sir. Yeah.
Yes.
What they don't tell you is they just open a can of cat food.
Yeah, pretty
warm
much.
It up
That's
a little
what
bit,
it smells like.
And then it's,
ugh.
Yeah.
No, but at the Michelin star, right, they like carve it right out of the goose in the back. We've got the live goose. You get to pick out which one you're going to be eating the pate from.
I've only been to a couple of like super hoity places. One is a place in downtown Seattle called the Met, or the Metropolitan.
Sounds fancy.
They're known for their steaks, which is
I like
good.
A good steak.
Cocktails in the bar while you're waiting for your table, like that alone, just for me and my girlfriend at the time, was like $150.
Oh yeah.
And we only had like two drinks each.
Yeah,
right?
You go to these fancy places now. A good cocktail is going to cost you $30 a pop.
Yeah. So, ridiculous. And this is back in the day.
Yeah.
And then like dinner, I don't know, man. I think I dropped $400 or something just for dinner for two. Yep.
Me and a coworker used to save up our tips. I'm like, all right, you got enough? You know, $200-$300. I was like, all right, steak night.
Yep. There you go.
Then he had the audacity to bring his vegan girlfriend with him because she insisted on coming.
That's like a total waste.
Right.
She got like, kill.
You know, we went in there. I'm like, you guys have a vegan menu? Like, jokingly.
We've never been asked that question, sir.
Like, we got the gluten-free menu. I'm like, I'm just joking. Don't worry about it. But I think she ended up with, you know, a side of broccoli and a plain baked potato.
Yeah.
And please, never come back again.
Right. Yeah. Like, why'd you bring her, dude? Come on.
Buzzkill.
She was cool otherwise, but like that wasn't the night to bring it. Right? There was going to be no joy in her on that night.
So the Met is probably like the hoitiest place I've ever been. And then there's a chain actually called Ruth's Chris.
Yes.
Yes.
And oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. Best steak I've ever had.
They do have
That's
great
one
steak.
Of them.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but everything's a la carte.
It is. Yeah. But I enjoyed that more than the Met, mostly because it wasn't as sticker shocky.
Yep.
It was, you know, roughly half price or something compared to the Met. So, but it was still hoity.
Yep.
Like everybody in there is like in a shirt and tie and, you know, some sort of an evening dress or formal wear or something like that.
The only restaurant, the only non-chain, I don't think it's a chain restaurant that I've been to in New Hampshire that was like worth going to was a steak place in Merrimack. I think it was like Buckley's or something, or Bucky's, if you've ever been there or need to, or if need to go. Otherwise, like, if you want to get like decent food at a reasonable price of like the high end places, that's the only unfortunate thing about New Hampshire. It's a restaurant. The food's terrible here.
Compared to like, yeah, what you get, you know, in a big city, a major metropolitan area.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're few and far between. Even like my complaint about Keene, New Hampshire is Keene hates Mondays.
Okay.
So like the chains are open and then like one or two other places, but like every other restaurant is closed. Right. You get, you know, you go to Applebee's or Chili's or Longhorn or something like that. But like other than that, you're kind of SOL.
Yep. So. That's my only complaint. Every other part about making the move.
Yeah.
I'm satisfied with.
Yeah.
Food, not so much.
Well, you need, sir, to come to the new Social Sunday location.
So I've been told.
At the Gorilla Grill. I'm going to pimp them on air because, oh my God, their brisket is on point. On point.
And this is coming from a guy who flew brisket back from Seattle. Because there's no
ribs.
Good. Because there's no good brisket and rib places in town.
Yeah, anywhere near me that I wouldn't have to drive, you know, a couple hours for or whatever. And so, yes, this is true. I did. I actually still have a little bit of that in my freezer. I've got one.
I'm just saying that the recommendation carries. If you like this place is good, and I've flown food from 3,000 miles away because the rest of the food here is terrible.
Look, man, this place has only been open. Like, they were a food truck, and then they did well enough that they decided to open an actual restaurant. They got into a place that closed during COVID. So like it was an existing restaurant before. They did some light remodeling and refitting so that they could have their smokers and all that kind of stuff. But they've only been open for 9 weeks and I've been there probably a dozen times.
Okay. Do they take crypto?
They do not. However, the owner has been approached about taking goldbacks at least during the food truck era. So he's familiar. He knows Ian from that time or
that
whatever.
That used to be
so,
like a requisite for Social Sundays.
Well, it's just that there aren't any anymore.
All right.
Can you name a place in Keene that takes crypto?
I don't know.
You got the pizza place.
Yeah, and they don't have they're a takeout restaurant. Right. They're not a dining
facility.
Yeah, they
have like one or two picnic tables outside, so that doesn't help you in the winter.
That's not going to do for what we want to do.
Okay.
So since the Funky Noodle closed, RIP Malaise, that was the last place where they took crypto and goldbacks that we had the Social Sunday at. So we've been kind of bouncing the Social Sunday a little bit in the last couple of years since all that happened because of that.
Has it been a couple years since Funky Noodle closed down already?
Well, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah,
really?
Maybe.
All right.
A year and a half.
Something like that. 603-283-6160 if you want to join us tonight. We've got, after you eat, you generally, you wait a little while. You got to relieve yourself. Well, we've got a numbers two story coming up for you still. It's Free Talk Live. Don't touch that dial.
Eleutheromania, the insatiable desire for freedom.
Filibuster, holy state.
It's the new three-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass. Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com. Talk Live.
And we're back.
I don't know what that is. Like, maybe we should get some kazoos in here.
A didgeridoo?
Ooh. And a kazoo.
Okay.
Ooh, like hybrid and make a didgeridoo.
A kadidgeridoo?
A kazidgeridoo.
A kazidgeridoo. A kazidgeridoo.
Didgeridoo.
A kadidgeridoo.
Yes, well, we've had enough inventing new instruments that don't exist previously.
Until now.
Here on Free Talk Live. That's right, it's Free Talk Live, in case you're wondering what this nonsense is.
Hey, AI, create this new instrument. The kadidgeridoo.
There we go. Kadidgeridoo. That seems to sing rolls off the tongue effectively. The telephone number, if you'd like to join us, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Kahuna.
And Richie Rich.
We've talked about all sorts of things. The anonymous bridge captain from the Maryland boat bridge thing. Nobody knows.
Ever so briefly.
Who it was. We've talked about the evil Easter bunny stomps on a man's trailer home. And we've talked about the horror film that made $666,666 on its opening night over in the UK. We talked about a book called Return of the Gods. We talked about hoity steak joints. But now we have a number two story.
The number two story.
That's right. This from the BBC or the BBC.
Oh.
I just tried to pronounce it.
Not the BBC you're thinking of.
Yeah, it's not the big, it's the British.
British. Right?
Okay. Yeah, Broadcasting Company, apparently, is what that stands for.
The Big Broadcasting Company.
The Big British Broadcasting Company. The BBC.
The British Black Company.
The British Boat Company? What? I don't know. Anyway, here's the headline.
Beer's the headline.
I wish beer was the headline. Here is the headline. Boat race. Oxford rowers criticize sewage levels in the River Thames.
Right before rowing into a bridge.
They do have a picture of one of these large, I'm going to call it a kayak. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people per boat, and there's a couple, 2, 3 of them. They're rowing down, I assume, the River Thames.
One guy just yells out, stroke.
Yep.
The other one yells out, candy bar. Baby Ruth floating in the pool. That's no Baby Ruth. All right, here we go. University of Oxford rowers have criticized sewage levels in the Thames after losing the boat race to Cambridge. Oh, yeah. We lost because we couldn't row through crap.
I mean, their opponents were also rowing through crap.
You couldn't row like crap.
They would probably say that Cambridge's practice team was used to it already because of where they have to practice.
Home field advantage.
Yeah. You guys are used to rowing through crap.
High levels of E. coli have been found in the river where the universities race every year.
It's splashed by the guy in front of
you. You know, I'm old enough to remember just coli before it became digital and became E. coli.
If only were that easy.
Those were the days.
You know, like mail. You know, regular mail. And then, email, right?
Yep. Girlfriend, and then you got an e-girlfriend. Same idea.
Yeah, you get the idea. High levels have been found. Leonard Jenkins of the Oxford men's team told BBC Sport.
Leonard Jenkins.
That's a very British name. He had been vomiting before the race. The Thames water has said improving river health was a key focus for the company.
Leonard Jenkins.
It's not Leroy Jenkins. I wonder if he's related. All you old school internet nerds, if you don't know who Leroy Jenkins is, you need to go watch some videos.
If you don't know, you're not really a nerd.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm pulling nerd cards on people who don't know Leroy Jenkins.
I mean, if you're like, I don't know, I guess, if you're under, 40 maybe?
Gen Z gets a pass?
I don't know, but there's got to be some age where it's like, okay, you obviously
like they've never been on the internet
of Leroy Jenkins, right?
Okay. Like,
I mean, it is a pretty old video, right? These things tend to get buried. The kids don't watch the old stuff. They're like, oh, that's my dad used to watch videos like that, right?
All right.
You know, I'm their dad's age, apparently.
Okay. I'm still pulling cards.
Okay. All right.
Nerds.
I won't stop you from pulling anyone's card if they claim to be a nerd and don't know who Leroy Jenkins
or what he was eating
is.
Do you know the trivia?
I might need to. Might need to get a punch in my nerd card.
Kahuna?
Hang on. I'm thinking about it. It's not a Snickers.
No.
I give up.
Chicken. Because they yelled at him for the thing, and he's like, well, at least I got chicken.
That's true.
Because while they were planning, he got up to go microwave his dinner, which was chicken.
Right, yeah.
And then the dinner was ready to go, and they were still planning, and so he charged. Shouting Leroy Jenkins, and gosh darn it, Leroy's like, well, at least I got chicken.
Spoilers. For those who've never seen it. Anyway.
It's a short video.
It is, okay. And it's hilarious, too, and it's still hilarious.
It's the battle cry for any time you're about to do something dumb that nobody else wants you to do.
The
testosterone fueled nerds everywhere.
Leroy Jenkins. I'm announcing my show notes as I make them tonight, apparently.
At least you're making them before. Tonight.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm out at the end of the show. What are we talking about?
This is usually a post-show exercise. What's going on here?
I'm trying, man. You know, a man who...
Captain is leveled up in his first chair duties.
Who is... a man who does not attempt to improve himself is not a master of himself.
Okay.
So, something like that, paraphrasing. Or I'm just making crap up. That sounds, you know...
I mean, that's what smart guys do all the time.
Yeah.
I was just theorizing.
Yeah. Fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
At any rate, back to this article about how crappy the Thames water is. Thames Water, the company, or is this a government entity? I'm not sure.
It's Britain. It's probably a government entity.
Oh, it says improving the health of the river was a key focus for the company. So apparently,
put the river on a diet.
Yeah. Keto action for the River Thames. On Wednesday, Environment Agency figures revealed raw sewage spills doubled last year in England to 3.6 million hours of spills, compared with 1.7 million hours in 2020. Wait.
Why is it measured in hours?
Why is it measured in millions of hours?
Yeah. Okay.
Like, what? Oh, it was 4 hours last year. Like, oh, that seems high. But no, it was 1.75 million hours in 2022 compared to 3.6 million this year.
Okay.
Hours.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like just raw sewage just spilling into the river for that many hours?
I mean,
let's see if
the, they measure time differently in the, British Isles?
Let's see if the article gives us any more.
All right.
Within the spills are human waste, wet wipes, and sanitary products, which can pose a serious risk to swimmers.
Yep.
So what, are people in England just flushing their toilets into the river? Is that what's going on?
It's the old Roman way.
I mean, yeah, I guess it is. And England was an empire, much like Rome.
Before indoor plumbing.
Yeah, okay.
You had to go outside. Just went wherever the hole was dug.
Flush it down, let God sort it out.
This is where he chooses to sort it.
Apparently.
I'll deal with this river later. How's that Nile coming along?
The River Naga. I'm not going to get clean this year anyway. boat race crews had been given safety advice to avoid swallowing water splashed up from the River Thames. Cambridge, who won both male and female races, was also warned against throwing the cocks into the water, as is tradition. The COX, by the way.
Oh, okay. Is that the trophy?
Oh, yeah, that must be.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's not capitalized, though.
That is the person on the team. That's the person that's yelling at everybody else.
Oh, the guy that doesn't do any work.
He's the director.
So they throw that person into the water.
If they win?
Okay. Yeah. It's kind of like dumping.
He's called the cocks.
Yeah, it's like COX.
Yeah.
But that's like the equivalent of throwing in the Gatorade,
on the coach
at the end of a football game.
All right,
that's like their version of that.
All right.
So I'm wondering how that guy like picks up chicks at the bar. What do you do? Oh, I'm the Cox.
Prove it.
Like plural.
Yes, plural.
Did you hear about the man with five penises? His rubber fit like a glove.
Nice. Like a glove.
Speaking to BBC Sport, Mr. Jenkins, not Leroy, said this morning, I was throwing up and I wasn't sure I was going to be able to race. I'm assuming he ingested some of this water somehow.
Did he go drink it the day before? Or is this a different race?
I mean, of course, they rehearse, I assume, the day before.
Is that what it's called?
It would be a lot nicer if there wasn't as much poo in the water, he said. It's not to take away from Cambridge, as we may not have beaten them even if we were all on top form. A second member of the squad said three people had to miss training sessions due to stomach bugs.
Mm.
Why are they nasty. Why are they drinking the water? I mean, like, man, like, can't they bring bottled water on the boat with them?
Breathe through your nose.
Maybe what's happening as they're rowing, you know, there's water splashing in, maybe They breathe in or something?
We solved this with COVID. Wear a mask, right?
N95.
You put on the blue mask and just comes out brown by the end of the row.
No, you put on a gas mask.
Okay.
Right? So like the water splashes on it, it just rolls off, but you can still breathe air.
All right.
Right?
So a snorkel with the filter.
Or even like, even one of those, what are they used for? Those like the clear... A visor thing,
you know,
not welders, but you know what I'm saying. Like,
I know, I know what you're saying.
Like one of them might
the
even help.
The shield,
face shield,
yeah, might help. Maybe a little windshield wiper on it.
Tearaways, like rally drivers.
Yeah.
Oh, I got poop again.
So in a statement, Oxford University Boat Club said, three members of the OUBC men's blue boat team came down with a stomach bug the week of the boat race, the origin of which we cannot definitively say. These things happen in the final lead up to the race, including in years we have won, it continued.
So this River Thames thing is an ongoing issue. Like every year it's just polluted and nasty. And they go like, no, we're going to have the boat race there again.
Yep.
It's part of the tradition.
In Seattle they have a... They call it the Sound, and it's a body of water.
Okay.
Or a series of bodies of water. Called the
Puget Sound. Sound, yeah.
Okay.
Or as we like to call it, the Putrid Sound, because it also is like, you don't want to go fishing in that thing. Like, people do, but like, they throw the fish back or whatever.
Okay.
Like,
fish for sport, not for food.
Yeah, yeah, which is sad. You want to fish for food, you actually go out to the ocean. You don't stay within the sound. Coxswain Will Denigree said that, so that Cox must be short for coxswain.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? That must be the full word for
both
the guy.
Both sound dirty.
They do. But both spelled with an X.
Okay.
Right. Coxswain Will Denigree said, whether that's related to E. coli in the river, I don't know, but it's certainly not helped our campaign. It's not an excuse.
It was E. coli from a sorority house the night before.
Or perhaps... F. coli or G. coli. I don't know how
wrong
these
hole.
Lettering things work.
I don't know what Captain's going with it, but you got the right idea.
Yeah, I was time traveling in the wrong direction.
Okay.
Testing by campaign body River Action and Fulham Reach Boat Club earlier this month detected high levels of E. coli, which can cause serious infections.
They like shut restaurants down for this.
They do.
Right?
But the river's fine.
River's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
You do that in a restaurant, and you get like sued.
Yeah.
And you go out of business for poisoning your customers.
Like, oh, you got sick for drinking the dirty water in the river? How about you don't boat in it?
Yeah. That would be a start, right? Let's find a clean boat. It's an island, right? This is England,
right?
Yeah. Okay. So they're an island, surrounded by water, presumably. Last I looked on a map.
That's usually how islands work.
And you can't find a body of water that, like, doesn't have poop in it to go boating?
Yeah, seems interesting.
You set out buoys and anchors, so you, like, plot the course out where there's no poop in the water? Can we do that?
Put up some poop nets?
I mean, Oxford and Cambridge, these are, like, prestigious universities, right?
They do claim to be prestigious.
There's no university money to, like, not have your event in poop water?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
These are good questions.
Someone has to ask them.
The River Action Group, or whatever they are, River Action and Fulham Reach Boat Club. River Action said the testing locations in its research suggested the source of pollution was from Thames water discharging sewage directly into the river and its tributaries. So there we go.
There you go.
The old Roman way.
Yep.
That's exactly what they were doing. The UK has combined sewage systems, which means rain and sewage share the same pipes. So if there's too much rain, sewage treatment works can be overwhelmed. Sewage is then spilled into waterways to prevent the system from backing up.
Okay.
Which, you know, if you get a stomach bug, it also prevents you.
So terrible engineering is what I hear when you say that.
Yeah. Well, okay. They could have just really, like, it didn't have to be several paragraphs. It could have just been bad engineering. It would have been, you know, perfectly
Or, you acceptable. Know, I get it. You're an old country, right? But let's modernize some things.
Yeah.
Let's get some filters. Let's get a bigger tank for the overflow.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Can we catch that somewhere?
A couple of tanks, maybe. If you have to.
Just because we did it that way last year doesn't mean we can do it the way this year.
That's the way it's always been done.
It's a taxpayer's expense, and now we got a dilemma on our hands.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want the state to do it, or do you want to just swim in poop water? Like, you got to pick a choice.
Right, because they won't let private industry do anything about it.
Probably not.
Sewage spilling can be legal, but environmentalists say it should only happen in exceptional weather.
Or for only 2 hours.
Instead of, like, was it 100 million hours? Or
yeah. No,
we still don't have a definition on what that is. Why? Still waiting. Not letting that one go either.
Trying to go 1.75 million hours. That was the low one in 2022.
Okay.
3.6 million hours in 2023. So, industry Body Water UK. Okay. Cited, that's another organization apparently, cited record levels of rainfall, but called the situation unacceptable.
It does sound unacceptable. Yes, well played.
Yeah. A government spokesperson also said sewage discharged into UK waters was completely unacceptable, and water companies need to clean up their act fast. They went on to say the government is taking...
But not illegal, just unacceptable.
Yes.
Okay.
They went on to say government is taking tough action to hold them to account. With the stringent targets in place and the quadrupling of the water company inspections. Great.
Goes to the fiber of their being. Regulatory, you know, agency.
Nothing a regulatory agency loves more than an inspection.
Okay. You know,
they seem to be all about the inspections and that kind of thing. The same thing for, like, tax assessment on your property, right? They send these bastards out. They don't even do it themselves anymore. They hire it out to, like, a third-party company. Who is, like, their only job is to go out and do property inspections?
I did a solar panel install in my house I used to own in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And the guy came out. It was literally the afternoon right before Memorial Day. He came out, came inside the house, didn't even look at the sort of the where the inverters were. He kind of, like, glanced up, and then he was in and out like 10 minutes. I said, don't you want to look at the inverters? And he said, oh, well, I gotta get up to... Maine for Memorial Day weekend, so I got to be out of here by like 3:30.
That's a kind of government.
So it was all about him getting on the road, not really looking at the system.
He made a stop in just so he could check. The
yeah,
box
like
he
could
he
check
there.
It that he would actually get there, but not actually like do anything.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that. Yeah, I don't want him around.
Oh,
anyway.
No,
okay.
I mean I didn't. You know, I was surprised, but not
they
really
even have
surprised.
To bribe you.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
I wish, like sometimes, like restaurant people, like they'll dread the inspector coming in. And then other times, like the inspector will come in and be gone, just like you're describing, like, oh, yeah. I got to go somewhere else. Yeah, I've been here. That's fine.
I had a restaurant inspector tell me that she was concerned that my piercings would fall off my face and into the food.
Oh.
Even though they're like screwed in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never had a fallout problem.
Huh.
So what did you say?
I said, it's not going to be a problem. If that's your only complaint, like, I think we pass.
Like, aren't they there to inspect the restaurant, not the employees?
Yeah, whatever.
Right? So you're not part of the restaurant. Yes, you work in the restaurant, but, you know, you yourself.
Nope, that was her concern.
Not.
That was her concern.
I'd have been like, you want to check my junk too, lady? Or like, you know, you want to sniff my underarms, you know, see if I've put on some deodorant today?
You think this is bad, you should see the rat we caught last week.
In a statement issued before the race, Thames Water said, we have experienced higher than average long-term rainfall across London and the Thames Valley with groundwater levels exceptionally high for this time of year. The overflows are designed to operate automatically when the sewer network is about to be overwhelmed, which then releases diluted water into the rivers rather than letting it back up into people's homes.
Mm.
Okay.
So the state has made it so their two choices are poop in the Thames or
poop in the toilets,
right?
Or toilets where it belongs.
Or coming back up from the toilets.
Okay.
Right? So I'm surprised, like...
How would that cleanup work? Then each homeowner would be responsible for their own cleanup instead of the river, right?
So, well, if it
seems like it's more equitable.
If it could be proven that it was the government entity in charge of this, I assume they have a monopoly on this and that they're not competing agencies and that they're taking tax money to provide this sewer.
Can we get it to back up only in the castle?
Everybody spray foamed on your toilet except for... Probably never work.
Probably would work. If you can clog your own toilet, it's not going to back up, right? Water takes the path of least resistance.
Right.
Poop follows.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes on to say, we're working hard to make these discharges unnecessary and have published plans to upgrade over 250 of our sites.
It's just the one slumlord that doesn't.
There's a lot of vague words in there, and there's no timeline.
Yeah, and like, oh, yeah. We're going to be stern, really.
Yeah, working hard.
We're going to cut it back to 2022 levels, where it was only 1.6 million hours.
1.75 million hours in 2022. 3.6 in 2023. Million hours of spills into this river. Millions of hours.
I want to know what that means. What does that mean?
How many millions of hours are in a year?
Oh, man.
Is there even a million hours? I thought you were a numbers guy.
I am a numbers guy, man.
Well, that's an easy math.
24 hours in a day times 365. There's only 8,760 hours in a year. I mean, you know?
So they're putting...
This is hundreds of thousands of years worth of poop spillage.
3.6 million hours of spills into this river.
That's 183 years.
In 1 year...
So it must be multiple locations. Yeah,
it's all year long.
Yeah.
Dumping crap into the river, right, to get up to that number of hours.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so don't drink the water of the River Thames, I guess, is the morale.
Don't go to England.
Of the story. Mm. Especially if you like food.
Or if you're an American, why would you go back?
Bangers and mash. Isn't that one of their delicacies?
That's
Bangers and mash? Oh, it's Irish? Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The Brits eat bread pudding.
Bread pudding.
Okay. And I will take a full English breakfast, though. I will say that.
Yeah?
That's amazing.
Not just half English?
Nope. Full English breakfast is on point.
603-283-6160. We need two people to each buy Richie Rich a half a breakfast, apparently, so we can get the full English breakfast. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com.
Yes, we are back. It is Free Talk Live, the Sunday night edition. The telephone number, if you'd like to join us, 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Kahuna.
And Richie Rich.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear, like t-shirts and hoodies, are available at libertyminded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny liberty-oriented clothing at libertyminded.com. That's libertyminded.com. Go get you some. Clothing, that is. In case you're running around without any. Or don't. Be cool. It's fine.
I finally bought some new t-shirts because I went to like the WWE show last night in Manchester.
You went?
Yeah.
How was it?
It's fun.
Yeah? All right. I mean, when I was a kid, I went to one, and it was pre-WrestleMania, so it wasn't even that cool, right? It didn't have all the, like, entrance music and
stuff.
This
was like the road to WrestleMania, because WrestleMania's next week, Saturday.
Okay, all right.
And Sunday.
But, like, when you go as a kid, like, sometimes you go, and you might see the exact same type of production, but, like, you're older, and you might not be, like,
I mean, it's a house show, so the production value was not at the level of the TV show
okay.
or WrestleMania, obviously.
Yeah.
But I mean, I had fun.
Okay.
I mean, like, Ticketmaster is a problem.
Ticketbastard.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody mispronounces the B in Ticketbastard. Yeah.
Mm. So, like, two $30 tickets after their fees was like $94.
Yeah. I hate those guys. We got around it for a while in the Seattle area because the independents could use brown paper tickets.
Okay.
Stuff like that. Yeah. There was another sort of same kind of service.
Yeah.
Where you could sell your own tickets and, you know, they didn't rape you.
It's also been so, it's also been so long that I've been that I went like, oh, this, to the souvenir stand to like get a couple of t-shirts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I made sure I had cash with me. Yeah. You know, they don't take cash anymore.
No. Nope. Cashless.
Nope. Cashless.
Yep. This venue is cashless.
Yeah.
It's one thing I love about heavy metal shows, man. The merch table always takes cash.
Yeah. No, merch table, no cash.
Wow.
Card only.
Yeah, Saratoga started doing that, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. Wow. You know, as soon as you walk in, there's a sign just like that. It's got a big red X through like a FRN.
Yeah.
You know. So.
I mean, I'm all for that kind of sign.
No, yeah. Well, yeah. Yes.
Screw your dollars, but like not at the expense of cash.
Do you think do you think there's any like line etiquette at the merch table?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, well, not so much.
Yes and no. I mean, there's shows I've been to, there's always like 12 lines. Okay. So the creation of those lines, I think there's chaos.
They form organically.
Yeah, but then I think once you're in there, yeah, there is etiquette.
And
like,
usually they form to the number of people on the other side of said merch table. So if there's one person on the merch table, just one line. If there's two people, then there might be two lines, particularly as if there's a larger line behind, as it gets closer to the table, two lines, separate lines will form.
I feel like when I went there, you know, I don't believe in the etiquette because how many times that I've done this. Right, but there was two lines converging from
Richie
either side.
Richie starts crashing through, elbowing
people. I didn't even have
to. He starts a mosh pit on his way
WWE there's like, table. There's two lines forming on either side toward the table, but the middle was wide open.
He gives the old man in front of him.
So I just walked up to the table.
Trying to write a check.
Yeah, I mean, if there's no clearly defined line,
No, it was a clearly defined line, but it was coming from either side, and the middle of the merch table was like nobody's there.
Okay, all right.
I mean, not nobody, but there was like, you know, two or three people like standing at the table. I just went to behind them.
So did anybody say anything to your colleague Skipper? And then did you get your merchandise?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
That's what I'm saying. But I felt bad for half a second, you know, for the people queuing. Like, don't you know how this works? You just walk up to the table.
Yeah.
You know, and then, but I didn't say anything to them either. I just went, oh, they're stupid. I'm going to go get my stuff quicker.
All right. Well, there we go.
Right. But I just wanted to see, like, what your thoughts were. You go to more shows than I do, Kevin, because that's one in a rare
one. Like, apparently I'm too old now because, like, I saw Slayer's one of the last shows where they had the actual original four members, right? Jeff Hanneman and Dave Lombardo. There's some Slayer reunion shows coming up because they like broke up. Kerry King formed his own band, and then apparently they announced the Slayer reunion shows. They're only playing a couple of like big festivals and stuff like that. So, but if you're telling me that I can't use cash to buy my Slayer T-shirt, I don't know. Am I ever gonna go again?
It might be a different venue. I don't know. But this one was cashless, and I was like, oh man. Did not need to bring cash at all.
Think you could have brought Goldbacks, maybe?
No.
Yeah, that, probably not.
Yeah. It's a chore to get normal places to take Goldbacks, let alone, like, the guy at the merch counter.
It really is a chore, too.
Should try it sometime, though. It'd be fun.
If I had Goldbacks on me, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't carry them to, like, a concert, maybe. I mean, maybe a couple of them in my pocket if I bump into somebody or I want to, like, after the show, you go get something to eat at, like, a late-night place or whatever. You might want to, like, you know, leave one for a tip. But, like, I'm not going to carry a wad of them to a concert because, like, I'm likely to, like, get drunk and, like, somebody's going to throw me into the mosh pit or something.
Yeah, you might lose it.
In the mosh pit, you lose things. Like, people have lost wallets and, you know, jewelry and all that kind
especially
of stuff.
Especially at the rate Goldbacks have been going up, man.
But if you go to the merch counter, right, and you hand them a Goldback, there's going to be a discussion, and you're just holding up the
They're probably going to give you the one-finger salute.
Yeah. Maybe. Unless they're smart.
Yeah. But yeah, they should be happy.
They should be.
Not hoppy.
Hoppy.
somebody out there right now is inventing or has already invented an extra hoppy beer specifically for Easter.
Samuel Adams.
Somebody. Okay. Some some
microbrew in Oregon.
Yeah, or, you know, heck, even here in New England, for that matter.
Do they have a lot of microbrews here? Is it microbrew friendly?
There's a ton.
Okay.
And in fact, New Hampshire, I've looked into this because I thought about starting something, you know, kick-ass brewing or something. I don't know. I've looked into it. It was actually some Free Staters. And I'm trying
the labeling requirements?
I'm trying to remember the dude's name. No, they actually got a thing passed that it used to be if you wanted to just start brewing beer, like in your own garage, for example, or if you had a barn or something like that, you had space, right? That you weren't allowed to sell it. You're allowed to brew it and drink it for your own consumption and like give it away or whatever as presents, that kind of stuff. But you weren't allowed to sell it. And so these couple of Free Staters, they were trying to start their own microbrew, and that's how they started. So they started brewing their own in a space, and they got, like, you know, into trouble with the law or whatever. Well, they ended up getting something passed. So now New Hampshire allows something called nano breweries.
Oh.
And this gives you the ability to brew, I think it's up to, and this is, go look it up for yourself, don't take my word for this, but up to 300 gallons per year that you can also sell.
Okay.
If you're going to sell them, you can only give either a taste or one beer, unless, of course, you have a restaurant. Okay. And in order to qualify to have a restaurant, you can have something like a food truck just sort of pull up into your space, and that can qualify as a restaurant, in which case then you can serve everybody up to two beers each.
Two beers. Yeah.
So it's a bit limited, but like people can buy growlers and cans to go, bottles to go, that kind of stuff when they come. So if you have food and you have beer, you can do it like a flight of tasters, that kind of stuff. It's the ounceage that they don't.
Can you franchise it out? Can you start two LLCs?
Yeah, I don't know. What I was trying to find was a microbrew that is, shall we say, overbuilt, right? Okay. Like they have more room to brew than they actually sell, right? They have bigger equipment and, you know, that kind of stuff.
And rent some of their equipment. And
yeah, like, you know, or can you brew this recipe specifically for me and then I'll take it and do the canning and
you could just be kick-ass kind of bottling stuff. Then. Just bottle for all the micro nano brews.
Well, it turns out that nearly, and I haven't talked to anyone that had said the opposite of this, so it's anecdotal, but still. And even like, I got a friend of mine back in Wisconsin who runs a microbrew. I talked to him. One of my friends back in Seattle worked at one of the bigger microbrews out there. I talked to him, as well as some people here in New Hampshire. And every one of them says the biggest mistake we made starting out was, we didn't think big enough. Like, they all were able to brew whatever they wanted to brew and sell it all.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, crap, we should have gone bigger. So there were no places, like,
with
meeting
excess
my
capacity.
Criteria, right? Yeah. No excess capacity. So if I wanted to do, like, a white label situation, I'd have had to pay a premium for them to interrupt their normal brewing cycle to brew something for me. And so I'm like, okay, I guess if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to DIY. Right. And
I'm suggesting is your DIY is build it bigger so that other people who also want to do what you're doing can come to you for the excess space.
Yeah. I've looked into it's not the University of New Hampshire. It's not in Manchester, but they do
SNHU, Southern New Hampshire.
Yeah, maybe it is. Okay. They do microbrew courses you can take. It's like a couple of days a week for like 6 weeks, and you get to meet like a bunch of the microbrew people, you know, in New Hampshire and that kind of stuff, and, you know, figure out what you want to do. You want to do nano brew? Do you want to do microbrew? Do you want to do a tavern? Do you want to get your liquor license? Do you want to do full restaurant? You know, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Are you looking to like take the courses or just network with the people?
I looked into it, right? I just know that these things exist. I've taken no action on any of it since then. And it's been over a year since I've really thought about it.
Well, I mean,
if
you know what you're doing, do you really need to take a course?
I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've never brewed a damn thing.
Okay.
Well, that's not true. I have. I've helped my friend Chris brew some homebrew.
Okay.
I used to have one of these. It's a carboy, if that's how you pronounce it. You basically just buy grape juice with real sugar.
Okay.
Right? And add a packet of yeast to it.
Let it ferment.
Screw one of these carboys. It's the breather. So, like, as it... you know, ferments and, you know, it produces gas. It releases the gas so your bottle doesn't explode.
Okay.
But you let that sit for X question mark. Then you filter it, right, because you don't want to be drinking all the, you know, stuff. And then you basically have, a poor man's wine.
Okay.
Right? So it's technically brewing. So, I mean, to some extent. And like brewing beer isn't necessarily that difficult. There's like, but you have to be a brewmaster to like get it right all of the time. You want a consistent product, right? You know, you. So like, if I were going to do something like this, I would probably hire a guy, consultant.
Okay.
You know what I mean? To like, I'd probably go take the courses, meet some people, figure out who the guy is I want to hire, you know, to come and consult and help me brew the recipes I want to brew.
Or start small and figure out, you know, your recipe and your flavors first and then grow when you're.
I have at least one recipe.
Okay.
I may have two. But like.
Coffee flavored beer.
It's kind of tabled for me right now. I've kind of.
All right.
My enthusiasm for becoming a brewmaster and opening a nano brew business or even a micro brew business has sort of just waned, and like it's largely because of COVID, right? Like that just put a kibosh on my desire to do anything like
become a barbecue pit master at the same time.
That was kind of the idea. Okay. Right? It was like, you know, barbecue and beer. Well, now there's a couple of barbecue joints around town, and they both serve beer. So, like, you know, niche.
I'll just be a customer.
Has been filled. What were we talking about?
This.
Oh, yeah. Mm. How did we get onto this?
We didn't get back into the River Thames.
Did we say who we are and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Hopefully, because it's been like 20 minutes.
Yeah. No, we got. You can give out the number again if you want.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
It's on the screen. People who are over at watch.freetalklive.com, they can see it.
Okay.
But
people who are listening to the radio, those just don't
exist it's anymore. 603. Okay. Fine, Richie. Jeez, man. Why don't you give out the number?
603-283-6160.
Very well. You've passed the test.
Well, now I got to repeat it.
No, I don't.
Okay.
603-283-6160.
You see that? Just a point. And he's like, oh, yeah, I got it.
Jumps to attention.
Yeah.
Ha! I know the number.
We should probably talk about something. How about... I wanted to talk to you specifically, Richard, about this one.
Okay.
Because it is based in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Also known as Hawaii.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't understand my particular lisp. This is from KOLD.com. Is it really cold? It's the Hawaii... No, it can't be from Hawaii, is it? Tucson.
Tucson.
KOLD is in Tucson. That's ironic. The headline reads, property owner stunned after $500,000 house built on the wrong lot. Quote, are you kidding me? Unquote.
Yep.
A construction company has repeatedly, that'd be even worse. A construction company has reportedly built a $500,000 house on the wrong property. Hawaii News Now reports that the lot owner doesn't want the house and has endured problems like higher taxes and squatters.
Yeah.
Now, to add insult to injury, she's being sued over someone else's mistake.
That's the most bizarre part about this.
Yeah.
Right. She is the victim of all of this.
Right.
And they're suing her.
Right.
And, well, I mean, you're going to get into it, but the reason they're suing her is because there's so many involved parties that aren't taking responsibility.
Right.
They're like, we're just going to sue everybody and let the courts figure this out.
Yep. And like, you live in bizarro world. This is not fiction. This is not a satire site. And this has been reported on, you know, multiple, I don't want to call them reputable news agencies, but for the most part. The still vacant 3-bedroom, 2-bath house on a 1-acre lot in, how do you say, Puna?
Puna.
Puna. Puna's Hawaiian Paradise Park is worth about $500,000, but it could cost a lot of people more than that as they head to court to sort it out.
It doesn't need to be sorted out.
There's nothing
that needs to be sorted out.
Tear down the house, build a new one on the other lot, let the lady have her plot of land back that you basically built upon without her permission.
The developer who commissioned the builders to build the house, right, is at fault.
Right.
Right? And so you pay the money to have those same builders destroy and get your garbage off this lady's lot.
Yeah.
Like, if the court says anything other than that, it's a travesty of justice.
Oh, definitely. And it may be, depending on how it turns out. It all started in 2018 when Ann Reynolds thought she'd found the perfect serene parcel in Paradise Park to host her meditative healing women's retreats. There's a sacredness to it, and the one I chose to buy had all the right qualities, she said. The price was also right, available in a county tax auction for about $22,500. So, wow. 2018. That's it. Yeah.
And I will also point out, likely undeveloped, right? So this was just a parcel,
mm-hmm.
right, of which she was able to take ownership of without mowing the grass.
Right. But while she waited in California through the pandemic for the right time to use it, the lot was bulldozed and a house was built on the property.
So someone not the property owner...
trespassed.
Well, mixed their labor with the land.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
And then now who owns it?
Well, that's not how law works in Hawaii anyway.
Well, good. That would be foolish if all you had to do was build a house on someone else's land and claim you mixed your labor with it and therefore then own it.
They own the house, yeah. She was unaware of the construction until she got a call last year from a real estate broker who had learned of the mistake. So yeah. Company didn't come up and be like, oh, man, we screwed up. We built the house on the wrong. Yeah. They didn't say anything. It was a real estate broker.
The real estate broker was trying to, like, sell the house. Like, hey, I sold the house,
yep.
but it's not, it's on your land, and I can't really do anything beyond that now.
This next sentence says, he told me I just sold the house.
Yeah.
And it happens to be on your property, so we need to resolve this, Reynolds said. And I was like, what? You're kidding me. PJ's Construction was reportedly hired by developer Kiao Development Partnership.
How do you even sell the house without the permission of the property owner? Hey, it's on your property. I already sold it. So, you know, you're going to have to do something, lady.
Yeah, I'm trying to,
I'm not responsible for that.
I'm trying to think how this may have come to light. Did they have surveyors come out or something, or a title company?
That would have been a smart move.
Yeah.
Or, you know, check the markings of the lot or, you know, that kind of a thing. If there were any spikes or
They avoided that. They didn't. They negated to take the responsibility of having a survey.
There you go. There you go.
Way to spoil the article, Richard.
I'm sorry. He asked a question. It's in the article.
No, I'm just asking.
That's all right. We're going to read it again anyway.
Well, go for it.
Those in the back who weren't paying attention.
Nerds.
PJ's Construction was reportedly hired by Kiao Development Partnership to build about a dozen homes on properties that developers bought in that same subdivision where the lots are identified by telephone poles. An attorney for PJ's Construction said... the developers didn't want to hire surveyors.
So there you go.
Therein lies the rub.
The developers didn't want to do their frickin' job.
Yeah. So you're
lazy,
responsible.
Didn't want to spend the extra bucks. Honolulu attorney James DePasquale was hired by Reynolds when she was sued along with everyone associated with the property or construction. That's like, isn't that the definition of frivolous lawsuits? Like, I don't know who did what. I'm just going to sue everybody.
Yeah.
Right? That seems frivolous to me.
Seems like they're going to set themselves up for a countersuit. And if all goes well, she'll end up with a lot more than just a lot.
Many countersuits, right? Because if the developer sues everybody involved, then everybody involved is going to file a counterclaim, you would think.
You would hope.
There's a lot of fingers being pointed between the developer and the contractor and some subs, DePasquale said, but it can't be sold. The house has become a nightmare for Reynolds. A neighbor told Hawaii News, now that squatters were immediately attracted to the brand new vacant house.
And you know how hard those are getting to get rid of.
Yep.
Before they put the fence on the property, there were people coming and looking inside, he said. Reynolds said she discovered they'd done more than just look as she found feces inside the house. When
a
checking
number
the
two
property.
Story.
Double flush production.
Double flush, yeah.
It was so disgusting, she said. Along with the cost of fencing, Reynolds said that she's paying property taxes that went from a few hundred to several thousand dollars, none of which she should be liable for.
Right. No. This is the developer.
Yeah.
This is what she ought to be suing the developer for.
One of the many things
absolutely.
The developers have tried to settle the issue. Reynolds' attorney said they offered to swap her their lot right next door or sell her the house at a discount. No.
She had the option to buy the lot next door likely when all of this was going down, and she went, nope, I like this one.
Right.
This is mine.
She just wanted the land.
She just wanted the land, right.
Yeah.
And so now that the land has been improved, the assessor has come around and raised the taxes on the land. So all through no fault of her own.
Nope.
right? The assessor just went, oh, there's a house here now. Tax. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You know? Instead of having, you know, a low tax because it was undeveloped land. Mm-hmm. It would set a dangerous precedent if you could go into someone else's land, build anything you want, and then sue that individual for the value of it, DePascal said.
It would be, wouldn't it? Mixing your labor with someone else's land, trying to claim ownership over it in such a manner? How ridiculous.
After trying to resolve the problem, Keough Development Partnership sued PJ's Construction, the architect, the prior property owner's family, and the county, which approved the permits. So there's a county at fault here as well for approving the permit to build on not this person or not their this developer's lot.
Lazy inspector, rubber stamping stuff. Yep. Generally, you would like that.
Probably to take a road trip on a holiday weekend.
They also sued Reynolds.
Yeah. Right, what does the prior owner have anything to do with this either? Right? How are they roped up into this at all?
I don't know.
Bro, I sold the property. It's not mine anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Like, leave me alone.
Maybe it was the address was like 709 and like the 9 on the light pole had flipped over 706 or whatever. Like,
I'm just... That should still be across the street.
Oh, yeah. I make that joke about Iron Maiden's 666, the number of the beast. Mm. It's a lyric in one of their songs. My parody is, of course, 668, the neighbor of the beast. 667 is the guy across the street.
Nice.
She said, it's awful. It's just awful. Representatives of the developers and construction company and Reynolds all said that they are being reasonable and the others are not. That's why the developer says they have pulled everyone into the lawsuit in hopes a judge can help unravel this $500,000 mistake.
The only person being unreasonable is the developer. Tear it down at your expense.
Yeah.
Return the property to how it was prior to make her whole again and move on with whatever projects you have going on around her.
Yeah.
But they don't want to eat the cost for their own mistake.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's my understanding that if you're a developer, you're carrying some sort of insurance.
Yep.
And you would think, that something like this would be covered.
Maybe. This is negligence. Mm. Insurance doesn't always cover negligence.
603-283-6160. Let us know your thoughts on the matter or bring up whatever's on your mind. We've got more Free Talk Live coming up for you, including a basketball team being mistaken for invaders.
Free Talk Live.
And we're back.
Back we are. Are we back? Back we are. We be back and stuff. We be.
We be.
We be. It's slang for we are.
You know what we gotta do? We gotta like soundboard our names during the intro so we can just fool people. You know, when we go around.
There was a phone like, system.
And then, you know, it's like, no, she's not really here. We just got the voice.
There was a phone system that I once used and managed, I guess. And it would have you record your intro, right? You know. Hey, thanks for calling this BS corporation. My name is Dave. How can I help you?
I knew I recognized that name.
Right. And so, like, you'd be in a queue to take call center type thing, right? They're using an ACD, an automatic call distributor, to send calls to the next available agent, whatever. But, like, when the call connected, you didn't have to repeat that thing, right?
Yeah.
The QA guys used to score the reps for making sure they did the intro, right? But then automation took the intro away. And you just recorded it once when you were hired, and that was your intro as long as you did that particular job, or corporate changed what the intro is supposed to sound like, right?
I wanted to do that when I had to leave messages for people, because I leave basically the same message every time I make a phone call.
It's more difficult to do that.
Really?
Well, so what you can do, of course, is grab yourself one of these micro recorders and just record, you know, the end of, you know, 90% of what you're going to say if it's basically the same thing. And then, but when you get to the voicemail, you're like, hey, this message is for Dave. And then click, hit play, put that up to your microphone. The sound quality is going to change, though, from your voice talking into that microphone versus the microphone picking up whatever little tiny speaker you have on your device.
That's not how I was thinking about it, but yes, you're correct.
There, to my knowledge, aren't automated ways to leave voice messages, like manually like that.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to say like this message is for, was just going to say, this is Rich from, you know, please give me a call because.
Yeah.
Right. And the, because is usually the same.
You should be able to do that from the desktop somehow.
There's gotta be a pass through from like the recording into the microphone.
Right, yeah, you need what they call CTI, computer telephony integration. So it's something you plug into the back of your PC so that when you hit play, you have to select the right audio output, but when you hit play, it'll pass over the phone.
Right, and I've got, you know, smaller mixers, not as big as the mixing board here, but I was like, I wonder if this will work. Because then I could run the headset, you know, my headset through the mixer, run that through the mixer.
Right.
Just run everything through the mixer.
Right, yeah. Right. All right, before we go on with the third segment of tonight's program.
Before we get started.
We've already started.
Oh, okay.
We're, I don't know, 3-4 minutes into it already.
Okay, all right.
Because we've been talking about phones and crap. We have to say thank you to C.H.
Bless you.
C.H. is a platinum, what do we call it? Amplifier.
Amplifier.
Yeah.
Platinum level amplifier.
Platinum level amplifier, which means they give $20 a month.
25.
Oh, 25.
Wow, thanks. CH, thank you. Why would somebody decide to give Free Talk Live $25 a month? Well, we're trying to get this radio program onto more radio stations. That's where most of that money
goes.
That's
the goal.
That's the goal. We're on close to 200. We could be on 250, 300, 350, not out of the question. It's all up to you. If you like the program, the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers, the topics, the perspective we bring of freedom, liberty, peace, crypto, all the stuff we talk about, if you enjoy all of that, please consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. It's a bit of a Patreon type of a setup. Mm-hmm. There's different levels, little perks you get for the different levels of giving, but that's not why you should contribute. You should contribute because you want to get this radio program on more radio stations and help spread the message of freedom. Thank you again, CH, for your contribution. We appreciate you. All right. We've been talking about all sorts of fun stuff. The latest thing we were talking about is this house built on the wrong lot in Hawaii. And, man, I just can't imagine what I would do in that situation. Like, I think as much as of an anarchist as I am, I would have to I'd have to go get an attorney, right? I'm already involved in the state. They're suing me somehow.
Yeah.
Even though I'm the victim, right?
I mean, you're defending your property, right?
That's okay. So that's the unfortunate thing about the current situation, right? Is like, in order to be defensive, you have to involve the state.
Right.
Yeah. And it's, I hate it. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm, you know, don't do it. You know,
she could have bought the lot.
What's the alternative, though?
Violence.
Yeah, she could have bought the lot and then paid some security company to just stay on the lot and ward off any people who wandered onto her property.
Well, yeah, that's
right? But that's not practical.
And you also don't think that someone's going to build a house on your empty lot either, right? Like, this is an anomalous situation to begin with. Doesn't recall, like, oh, I need private security while I'm in California waiting for whatever to happen.
Yeah, well, the article alleged that she was just waiting out COVID so that she could figure out what she was going to do with it.
And it's not like the public security did anything. It's not like the cops drove by and went, hey, there's some new construction going on here that looks untoward. You know, didn't that lady just buy the land?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't do anything.
Yeah, it's a sticky wicket for the lady involved here, the victim, if you will. And it shouldn't be this difficult. You're absolutely right, Richard, pointing out that it's very easy to identify who's at fault.
Very easy.
The developer,
Yes.
They built the house on the wrong lot. That's the statement from the top of the story.
And was negligent in getting the survey done because they thought it was unnecessary.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's their responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
so
they failed.
So first the developer, and then I would say the county.
Right? For giving out the permit?
For giving out the permit.
Okay.
Right? For not verifying that they had their information correct or that it was being built on the appropriate lot.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm trying to think of the steps. The county, again, don't like getting the state involved, but I would think one of the questions the county would ask is, okay, submit a copy of the survey, right?
Right. And if they didn't, then, no survey, no permit, you would think, right?
Yeah.
Or how about give me the satellite coordinates, latitude and longitude of the lot, right? Because, no, you can't build there.
Right.
That belongs to this lady, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I care less about the county because theoretically they shouldn't exist and that part would be skipped anyway.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Right? Like someone should have done the survey. You still shouldn't need permission from the county to build something.
But it seems like there, in my mind, at least two parties here that are negligent.
Okay.
And one of those is not her.
Right.
Neither
one of them.
Right, yeah.
She's not in that mix.
And then, of course, you've got the
prior owner also not in that mix.
Right.
Like, why they're getting dragged into this, you know. That kind of happened to a buddy of mine. He, like, sold his pickup truck, and the new owner did not fill out the paperwork to get the, you know, title transferred over to his name.
Okay.
Mm. And then the truck got into an accident. And, like, last name on record, Jew, he's like, I sold that truck like a year ago, man.
Right,
like, I got nothing to do with this.
Right.
Oh, but your name is on the record, so we're going to need your insurance. I was like, now he's got to go dig out like the bill of sale and proof that he sold the truck. And the other guy totally at fault, right, for not doing the government paperwork to take ownership of it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Everybody got dragged into it.
I had something similar happen. It was the city of Seattle. I had bought a Volkswagen Rabbit for my then girlfriend. Nice. To use we
very
broke up
Easter car
we very yes hoppy
was it a Volkswagen Rabbit?
It was what do we call it, what's the word, a pastel blue.
Ooh.
You know, so anyway, we broke up, so like more you Easter know right? I wasn't gonna let her keep the car. She didn't have any money to buy it, so I got the car back and I sold it, right? I put an ad on the little, you know, local, this is before Craigslist or whatever. Perfect. Right, so
in the newspaper.
Yeah, we call it the thrifty nickel, right? This is a
penny savers,
a newspaper savers. Just for used cars. Okay. That would be distributed at your local convenience store for all of you ancient people out there who remember this type of thing.
They still have convenience stores.
So anyway, of course, I did a bill of sale, signed the title over, but like even before cameras were in your phone, I took a photo of it, right, at the time of selling.
Hopefully
right?
A Polaroid so you could verify that.
No, I had to get it developed. It was on an old 110 camera. You
dangerous.
Know, I had to go take it to the photo mat. No, actually, it was a drugstore.
Okay.
And have the pictures developed. And luckily, like, you could see, you know, the signature and who it was. And, like, we put our licenses down and all that kind of stuff. So, but basically I got a letter that was like, hey, we're fining you for abandoning your vehicle. Like, because I guess the guy bought it, drove it around for a while, never did any of the, you know, the government paperwork, still had the license plates that were on it from whenever I had it, right? Sticker now expired, all that kind of fun stuff. And so they're sending me this thing, and I'm like, no.
Yeah.
You know, send him a copy of the photo. I'm like, yeah, sold this thing on, you know, like, I don't know, 6 months before the alleged incident happened. So, you know, go F yourself. They left me alone after that. So
I would also suggest that with them coming after you, you would have some sort of civil claim against the new owner, right? For any damage or cost incurred during that process.
For not jumping through the state's hoops of ownership registration or something? I mean,
he's costing you time and energy,
yeah,
right? Because the state's not coming after you.
Yeah.
That's not your fault. That's his fault.
Yeah.
So if you could put a monetary amount on your time and energy.
$1 million.
Whatever it is. I'm not saying it's $1 million. But whatever it is, like, he should be liable for that to you. Just like the developer should be liable for whatever costs and time and energy incurred by this property owner, right? For everything that she's going to have to go through to get this sorted, because they won't take responsibility.
Have either of you been mistaken for something you're not?
Yes.
Can you elaborate?
I got arrested once.
Mm-hmm.
and they ran my fingerprints,
mm-hmm.
and they said your fingerprints came back and matched that of an illegal Guatemalan refugee, and they were going to deport me.
Wow.
I don't think, like, I'm looking at him like, could he be Guatemalan? Could I mistake him for Guatemalan?
I mean, when they said it, like, the first thought that went to my mind was like, man, if I get to Guatemala, this is going to be a great story of how I got back right? And then, you know, this is like 3 o'clock in the morning, and they call the INS guy to, like, interview me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, and he's like, you know, occupation, like cult leader. Which is true. It's true. This is like the radio studio with the most amount of religious heads of religious organizations, and I'm one of them. He's like, enough of that BS, right? Mm-hmm. And then they tried to hang me up because I didn't know the name of the hospital that I was born in. Oh, like, do you know the name of the hospital you were born in?
I do. Yeah.
I do, yeah.
Okay, uh-huh. I don't. I never cared. Like, why would I carry that information with me?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, it's common knowledge. Everyone knows what hospital they were born. I'm like, clearly
no,
not, man. Like,
no,
that's
not everyone.
That's a dumb question on whether or not I get deported or not,
right.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Right, so you were mistaken for a Guatemalan
refugee.
What were you?
I don't have anything interesting like that, unfortunately.
I get this all the time. Most recently, I was at a restaurant having some dinner just by myself, but I'm at a bar, so it's like there's a bunch of people in there. And this guy sits down next to me or whatever, and he's talking to his wife or girlfriend or whatever. And at some point, he looks over and he's like, oh, you look like one of them Harley Davidson people. What kind of Harley do you have? And I, of course, I don't own a motorcycle. I really don't even know how to ride one very well. Like, the last time I tried, I was very young and, like, I fell off a bunch. It was a Husqvarna dirt bike, you know, kind of a thing. Like, I didn't get injured or anything. Yeah. But, like, you know, I wouldn't trust me on one at this point. Like, if I were to get one, I'd need to go take a rider's course, mm-hmm. right, and all that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. So, anyway, I'm like, yeah, well, I don't even own a motorcycle. in fact, I get that a lot. So, it's totally cool. He's like, oh, I, you know, like... He thought he had offended me, and so he didn't. Yeah. Like, I was like, I don't even own a motorcycle. I just look like this.
I used to get that, too, and then I'm going to go jump on my moped and putter away.
they look a little less incredulous, right? Because the look they give you when they're like, you look like you and you don't own a motorcycle? Wow, my stereotypes are really off, right? You know what I mean? They're, like, questioning their own mind about, why did I make that assumption about this particular man, right? They feel a lot better when I tell them I'm a heavy metal musician. They're like, oh, okay, that makes
different
sense.
Different stereotype.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah. So, like, now I've shifted
that. That would have been my second guess.
Right? Yeah.
I will also say this. On my moped, before I got one that was souped up, my buddy did have a Harley.
Wait, you can get a souped up moped?
Oh, dude, the moped that I have right now, if I went and fixed it, like, I've done 85, maybe 90.
Wow.
We should start a moped gang.
We should call it the Two-Stroke Bandits, because that's been also been in my head for years.
I think you mentioned that to me once before.
The two-stroke is whatever. Okay. But anyway, I raced my buddy on his Harley and I beat him, like, from point A to point B. I got the whole shot. You know, he passed me. I beat him on the curb. He passed me on the straightaway.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we had to, like, dip into some sets of cars to make our turn to get to the restaurant. And he dipped in early, and I, like, smoked all the cars and pulled in.
Nice.
Have you ever mistaken a large group of people for something they're not?
Without sounding racist?
I mean, you do you, bro.
Okay.
Like, I'm not gonna judge very much.
All right.
Maybe a little. Well, I mean, and, like, this next story could be viewed through racist glasses for certain. The internet is roasting a Michigan representative for mistaking the Gonzaga basketball team buses for illegal invaders.
Oh.
Not a March Madness fan, are you?
What was it about the bus? Like, don't, why is it, I mean.
There are three, they have a photo, and in this photo are three what look like regular coach buses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they're not marked. They're not unmarked. Greyhound. They're not, you know,
but
they're completely unmarked.
If it's a tournament, there's a bunch of teams busing in players, right? Yeah, no, I've seen the photo.
Correct.
Yeah.
But my point is, like, why is the Gonzaga basketball team being singled out when, you know, in theory, there's teams from 63, 64 schools busing in players?
Right.
It's probably just bad timing. You know, they just,
that's the one that they saw.
Yeah, that's the one they saw.
Like, we're all, like, this like is I the said, last like, in line of the train of buses.
My theory is that this guy is a bit racist, and jumped to a conclusion that you know he probably shouldn't have.
But, this is those unmarked buses that the Texas guy's sending up here.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
The Sweet 16 kicks off today. This is from a couple of days ago, anyway, March 28th. So it kicked off with teams from around the country flying to the site of their next matchups. The Midwest region games are taking place at Little Caesars Arena. Little Caesars has an arena.
Nice.
In Detroit. That's where they're founded. Okay. They're founded in Detroit, Michigan. Which means that Tennessee, Creighton, Purdue, and Gonzaga are all headed to the Motor City for their shot at making the Elite Eight. But apparently one Michigan State representative didn't get the memo. And he panicked when he saw buses at the airport.
Oh, no.
Dun, dun, dun. Buses at the airport. Oh, no.
How big is a basketball team? You need three buses. There's only like 12 players.
Well, okay, but you got to have
all the
like
coaches.
All the coaches.
It's like two or three coaches.
Equipment guys.
Yeah, the equipment guys, the ball boy. Yeah.
We're up to like 19 or 20
the referees.
Maybe.
And these are
no, the referees don't come with this team.
And these are big dudes, man. They need room to stretch out, you know?
They are
three buses for 20 guys?
They are college kids, so they probably got to have like hookers and blow in one of the buses.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
All right. I don't know.
So like, now we're getting there.
I'm not.
There were no hookers and blow when I went there, as far as I know. I was not invited to those parties. Yeah. We had a root beer kegger.
I didn't go to college, so I never found out for sure.
You missed out.
I went to a form of college, but not a four-year college for sure.
You know, the way those things work, you can just walk onto campus usually. If you look the part, like, yep. Nobody cares.
Yep.
You can just go to college parties.
I did that when I lived in Seattle. I lived in the University District, which is like five steps from University Row, where you have all the frat houses with all the Greek letters and all that kind of crap on them. And so the bar that was right next door to my apartment building, I would just go in and start drinking, and then all the college kids would come in.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And they'd talk about, okay, let's go back to the frat house for the party now. Mm-hmm. And I would just wander out with them.
Yep.
Right? Because I was about, like, I looked, you know, about college age back right. in the day when, yeah. I, when I was doing this. And people were just like, hey, come on in, man. And, like, yeah. hand me a beer cup or pay my $5 for yeah. the red cup or whatever. And I would just party with college kids for yes. no reason. Yeah. I didn't even know. It was great.
Nice.
Right.
Especially if you get to know them.
You know anyway, I mean. This guy, Matt Maddock, apparently, says, happening right now, three buses just loaded up with illegal invaders at Detroit Metro. Anyone have any idea where they're headed with the police escort? So apparently there's a, is that in the photo?
Police escort and everything?
Yeah, I guess you can. Like, now that I know there's a police escort, I guess one of these cars looks like.
I mean, I don't know what the team is comprised with now, but when I went to Gonzaga, there was mostly white guys on the team.
Hmm.
Like, you would be hard-pressed to assume that they were illegals.
Huh. Well, it turns out the internet knew exactly who it was and why they had a police escort. It was the Gonzaga men's basketball team getting into Detroit for the NCAA tournament, as confirmed by a local reporter, who replied, just to be clear, this was the Gonzaga basketball team. Photos show Gonzaga getting on an Allegiant plane to Detroit for the Sweet 16, and flight radar shows a plane from GEG to DTW landed at 7:25 p.m. around the time this photo was posted. This is a wild tweet.
So when I was a freshman, the news crew came to like interview students.
Yeah.
And they came to our class. It was like, I think it was like a speech class or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, okay, we need a guy to take the opposition point of view on the Gonzaga basketball team. And the whole class looks at me like I'm the guy. Like, why are you guys looking at me?
Yeah, ask Richie Rich.
Ask, yeah, yeah.
He loves being devil's advocate.
Right. So I was on the news, local news, as a freshman at Gonzaga, talking smack about the basketball team.
Did you accuse them of being illegal invaders?
No, it didn't cross. But, you know, for the next 4 years, I was like, I was that guy. Oh, you're the guy that doesn't like the basketball team, huh?
The basketball team here in this story even tweeted about the flight. So it's not like they were exactly trying to move in secrecy. And, of course, all these teams, when they fly into a different city or bus in or yeah. whatever, they always got to have photos of them walking out, yeah. you know, wearing their headphones.
Yeah, headphones and whatever. And the fancy suit.
Fancy track suit yeah. or the new shoes they just bought or were bought for them. By.
So I will say this then as well then, because this is one thing that did stick in my craw at the time, right? I was watching WWE SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
and the local news busted in on SmackDown to show the team arriving back from the airport. I'm like, oh, come on, man. I don't need this. This is why you get me to speak out against the team, because you break in for they go like, oh, so how's the weather down in Arizona? And the guy goes, man, it was hot down there. Like, back to you, Bob. And they're like, I'm missing the segments here. Come on.
Yeah. And, of course, the internet was quick to pile on to this representative. Calling Gonzaga illegal invaders just because they come from outside a major conference is pretty aggressive, if you ask me.
You don't belong in the Sweet 16, boy.
Yeah. You ever mistaken a busload of basketball players for illegal invaders? Give us a call. 603-283-6160. The final half hour of Free Talk Live is still to come. Stay tuned.
Used to be an echo every time.
Echo. It's Free Talk Live.
Is it?
Yes, it is. If you aren't familiar with us and our program, please visit freetalklive.com. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
Kahuna.
It is Richie Rich.
We are brought to you by ForkFest. Happening June 13th through 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. All right, now that I'm done whispering...
The radio whisper voice?
Yeah. The radio whisper voice. It's really easy to do. You just whisper and let the microphone do the rest of the work. Yeah.
What a technology.
I know. It's all about the compressor behind me, though.
Okay.
That's what's doing it. So, like, when, like, and if I talk really loud, it'll also keep it at a, you know. A
reasonable volume.
Mm-hmm. At least reasonable to be broadcast, right?
Okay.
You know, you won't notice much of a dynamic change out of your speakers at home or your headphones, you know, as we do that kind of thing. It's more pronounced in person, of course.
I've been yelling for no reason this whole time.
Do you remember the old Saturday
Night
Live? You
got to feel my outrage here.
Do you remember the old Saturday Night Live where they'd bring in the guy to help translate for the hearing impaired? And they would just show this little picture-in-picture box of the one guy with one both hands over his mouth going, and the next thing! Yes. And the next thing we'd like to report, Right? He's basically just yelling at the camera for the hearing impaired.
It's better than faking that you know sign language, which is a thing.
We're a live call and talk program, so let's go to this caller. I believe this is Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, yeah, thanks for taking my call. You know, I'm convinced that, was that Sean Diddy, that rapper?
Yep.
I think he really was committing human trafficking. That's what he's accused of.
Okay.
What is your source of information and what evidence have you seen to lead you to that conclusion?
Well, isn't most of all the rap songs that he sings about are about pimping or something, or the whores or whatever that they always sing about all the time?
Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean he's a human trafficker.
They did try to do that in court, though. They brought up rap lyrics as like evidence of murder or something. Like, oh, you're always talking about killing people. You must be a murderer.
Are you serious? That's what I'm thinking. You know, people, you know, that you talk about it, you think about it, you always, you know, and then you wind up, you know, because you're doing it.
So
you know what I'm talking about, you know?
So we're allowed to make the jump from talking about something to accusing somebody of action?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Tim Lambesis of the band As I Lay Dying, also the founder of, I'm going to call it a pastiche band called Austrian Death Machine, Right, which is a blazing fast heavy metal thing, but it also features impersonations of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
The Terminator.
Yes, and spot on impersonations too, and all of the songs are named after like famous quotes from his movies.
I'll be back.
I'll be back. Rubber Baby Buggy Bumpers.
Get in the chopper.
Get to the chopper is one of their most famous ones. Now,
it's not the tumor.
No, it's not a tumor is definitely one of them. What's it? Remember when I promised to kill you last?
Yes.
I lied. Right? I lied. That's one of them. I need your clothes, your boots, your motorcycles, and other songs.
Anyway, was he 9mm?
Anyway, my reason bringing this up is Tim Lambesis spent time in prison for allegedly hiring a contract killer to take out his wife.
Okay.
And murder his wife. Now, none of his lyrics.
So not on a date.
None of his lyrics said anything about any of that. Austrian Death Machine is just comedy, right?
But so this mixed is the opposite metal. Situation.
Right. So, like, if we're going to say that, like, oh, I think this guy's guilty because, you know, he wrote some rap lyrics that sound like that's what he's into, then Tim Lambesis must be not guilty because he never wrote any songs with any of that in it.
Okay, well, one of the things that wasn't Jennifer Lopez's girlfriend and her family had to step in to get rid of him? He was that, how do you say, aggressive? Like, she could not say goodbye to him. Like, yeah, like he's like domestic violence guy. That, she was terrified of him.
That still doesn't make him a human trafficker, even if that's true.
Yeah, I don't know who he's dated.
Well, I mean, that's a tendency. If somebody's that controlling and that scary, where her family, I mean, she could not call the police on him. Her family had to get rid of him.
Okay.
I mean,
if that's true, I mean, that's not good, but
that's evidence of another crime.
Yeah, that's not human trafficking.
Well, but it's like a tendency personality profile. That's what I'm saying. And so, I mean, I think they will find evidence on the telephone and his computer. I mean, they went in there with the arm of guys with the guns FBI warrant or something to get
out. Oh, like they did to the Free Talk Live studio?
You mean exactly.
The very studio that we're sitting in right now?
Not to go out to his house.
It was a coordinated effort, too. Yeah. Like, they got him in, his L.A. home, his Miami home.
I heard he ran.
I don't know if he was
or at least was outside of the U.S. or something. Like heard,
I don't know.
He was not apprehended at the time of the raid.
I think he was in what I recall reading was that he was in New York at the time they raided his L.A. and Miami mansions.
Okay.
So I don't know if he's been arrested yet or if they have.
I thought I read that he like fled somehow, but
that's
don't fine. Know that for a fact.
Okay. That's usually symbolic of some guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh yeah, you know what? That's a bad flag right there. Why are you running? Why are you running away? That you're trying to cover something. You're trying to hide something.
Well, I mean, if the FBI raids two of your residences, without your knowledge of them, could be a number of reasons that maybe they found something out in his residences outside of this particular accusation. Again,
inadmissible.
Yeah. Again, we're looking for evidence here. Of whether or not a crime was committed.
I wonder if he's going to put out like a rap song like Afro Man.
Well, I just want to say, all the celebrities that brought up human trafficking, I think Oprah Winfrey had a show, and I know that Demi Moore helped out, and so was Mira Sorvino.
If you're concerned about human trafficking, particularly in the of the pedophilia variety, Oprah Winfrey has been connected to such activities herself.
And Diddy's connected with Oprah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I never saw her show about whatever show she's done, but I know a lot of celebrities have. What was it? Demi Moore's ex-husband? I forgot his name.
Bruce Willis?
Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, Ashton Kutcher.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, he was against human trafficking, too. So that all helps enough where this guy's going to get nailed,
That still doesn't tie him to anything,
so
in my opinion.
I'm so glad Sarah doesn't, like, run things.
Okay.
Like, I wouldn't
drive things.
I mean, this is like the,
you know, you listen to music that sounds like you might be guilty, so, you're going to jail.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? A lot of the criminals, they got busted because they kept diaries of them, and then they post things on the computer, And it was like, I killed somebody, or, you know, I buried them under the woods, or they put all these things. They leave clues all over everything that they do, and their diaries when they abuse kids. And so this is like a, I mean, I'm not saying it's always 100% that way, but those are kind of clues.
Yeah, but that's still all over the place. I mean, yes, but that I don't think that's the case here.
They keep the master records of all their transactions hidden in a safe in the basement of the lair.
Mm-hmm.
And the FBI just has to crack the password to get to
right.
it. Then everyone's guilty.
But, you know, I'm just happy that we have raised more awareness towards human trafficking. You know, that's important to me. So whether he's guilty or not, people are paying attention that this is a real crime. And then it turns out that our Governor Richardson, he was guilty of sleeping with these underage girls. I mean, after he passed away,
Sleeping with underage girls after he passed away?
No, that's really creepy.
Deep trick.
He was accused of it. But now it came out on the court records of one of the documents. They only published it after he passed away that, yeah, he was there having sex with these girls. You know what I mean? I mean, they're kind of make him look better
pretty
than
explicit
what he
about how I'm describing it there, Sarah. I think we get the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Sarah, thank you for the call tonight. We appreciate you. Feel free to call us again. Let's see. We've got some other callers. Do I dare take an unscreened caller?
Do it!
Let's try this unscreened caller. What's your name, please? You're on Free Talk Live.
It's Renee.
Hey, Renee. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Jenneret, Louisiana.
All right. What's on your mind? You're on the air right now.
Did he do it?
Yeah, what's on my mind is car issues. I mean, it seemed like they want to make cars more for women. With the traditional women, right? You know, when you open that door to back up to get a good wide look at what's going on, the truck just shuts the hell off. And then I don't know what the hell these people thinking about the safety of a car if you happen to have your keys on the inside and it's a new truck. What is it, 2019?
Mm-hmm.
The keys are on the side when you close the door, click, 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 click. It locks up on you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't know.
I didn't
That's
have the money.
News
for,
to me.
I didn't.
How does that connect to women?
Well, I feel like trucks are going in the opposite direction. They keep making them bigger,
and I just want a small pickup. A man wants that door open for better vision to back up, not to hit something.
You don't use your mirrors? Real man uses mirrors, sir.
What do you mean by door open?
Yeah, see, at first I thought he was talking about like the gentlemanly thing to open the door for a woman to get in.
That's what I thought.
So that he could back up and get a good look at her backside.
Yeah, right.
You know, while
that I can understand and appreciate.
But getting back to the locking thing, it's a set of somebody told me it's like a safety feature for anti-theft. But I tell you what. When you log that in there, that's like $60 here, $90 there, and I log my phone in there. I didn't have money for the rest of the week, so.
Are you talking if you lock your keys?
Yeah.
You lock your keys in the car.
Yeah, well, why do that?
Let me give you a pro tip because I have experienced this problem since I was in high school.
Dun dun dun! It's dun, a pro dun, tip.
Pro tip.
Pro tip from Richie.
You can't see it on camera, but I have a 2-foot chain attached to my belt loop, attached to my keys. So that I get a little tug if I accidentally leave my keys in the car or in the ignition. And that is because I have locked my keys in the car with the car still running because I was that excited to get out and go do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give you more? The thing doesn't have extra, like, for the metal part of the key. It has only one. I mean, why? Why not two or three? If you'd have an extra metal...
You're talking about the keychain itself?
I messed up the
Go get a good keychain.
Yeah.
It's like $2 at Walmart, man. Do you need $2?
They claim the dealer could disengage that. I called the dealer 2 or 3 times. I'm going to stop by and ask, can you, for some money, disengage this program? I don't need it.
Mm.
Get an old truck.
I think they can, actually.
Get a square body. That's a manly truck.
They don't want to answer me back.
Yeah. It's
you got to go directly to the dealer. Don't call them.
It has no rhyme or reason to do that. I don't see where it works.
Yeah, get an old truck. They still sell them.
Know how to get in there.
Give an old Yeah, F-150.
You're creating problems for yourself, bro.
I saw a rust-free 1978 GMC pickup for sale in New Hampshire for $10,000 or something like that.
Rust-free?
Yeah.
Is it still legal to have these old dinosaurs? I might not be up to
for
that.
For now it is, yeah.
Yeah, for now it is.
I will also say Cash for Clunkers was a conspiracy.
Oh, definitely. Yep.
And, you know, to get rid of all that old stock of cars they don't control.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you want old cars with no technology, so when the government does eventually shut all the cars down, they can't touch those cars.
No boop boop. You got to go and turn the key yourself.
Technology?
Yeah.
You got to push the button down yourself.
Old school, no electric windows, no electric door locks.
Yeah, we're talking hand crank windows.
Hand crank that bad boy, yep.
Old school.
Can I say something about that technology?
Sadly, it's here to stay. Sadly, it's here to stay.
With vehicles, I was with the military, and their trucks is technological, and whatever's whistling and stuff, we was at a training post, they say, just keep on driving it. And when I drive my trash truck, if the programs are different, programs don't talk to each other while they're recalibrating like a cell phone. The whole truck shuts down. If it was a 1950s truck, they keep working. But if the computer
get yourself a 1950s truck.
Yeah.
No, send that 2019 over to me. I'll take it off your hands.
You know, sometimes the old school is the best school. That's all I'm going to say.
Anything else, Renee?
And stop opening your door to back up the truck. Use your mirrors. That's what your mirrors are for. Who does that?
Yeah, but them holes, if it's a tight little crack next to the cement.
Yeah, even better reason not to open your door.
Keep the door shut or else you'll take that door right off.
Yeah.
Renee, thank you for the call, man. We appreciate you. That's hilarious.
I can't back up without opening my door and then I lock my keys in the car.
Man, why don't you just back the
Why did the manufacturer do this to me?
Speaking of trucks, this from Outkick.com. Just how good are McDonald's fries?
Delicious.
Like, I'm asking, this isn't part of the thing. Like, McDonald's fries got famous because they were fried in beef tallow, right? Now, they've long since not been fried in beef tallow. Yeah,
didn't they do some kind of documentary / expose years ago where they preserve them for, like, I don't know, 6 years, and you could still take it out, and they were, like, just like they were when they put them in the jar or whatever?
That's okay.
Is that true?
It's well, they did it, and it's fake.
Okay.
Well, there's actually a place where a McDonald's closed, and they took, like, supposedly the last order of fries and the last burger and put it in a hermetically sealed cube, you know, vacuum, you know, whatever. And it basically looks the same as it did.
Right.
You know, I mean, the
because
papers
there's environmental kind of conditions required for bacteria or whatever to grow.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you hermetically seal it in plastic,
you alter that.
You've changed the environment for which that to grow.
As a former,
and of course, it looks the same.
As a former,
there's nothing in there to grow.
Okay,
as a former fast food junkie, I have taken any number of French fries from any number of establishments and, like, dropped them on the ground or in my yard or whatever. They all disappear. Where do they go? Do the critters get them? Do the bugs get them? Do they decompose? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, I don't find them, you know, next spring after the thaw of winter. You don't find, look, there's some fries from last year that I dropped before the first
snow. If you want it to grow mold, leave it out. Right? Just leave it on the counter.
Okay. All right.
You want mold, leave it on the counter.
Anyway, so I mention all this because...
spritz it with some water.
According to Outkick.com and a couple other places, this was the first one that I grabbed. Tow truck drivers brawl with police over an order of McDonald's French fries.
Yeah, I could see that.
There aren't many more things more overrated than McDonald's French fries. I have them in the lower half of my top 10 fast food restaurant French fries rankings at best. Oh, this guy's a
Which
critic.
Ones are higher?
Yeah, I don't know. He says, I'll take fries. Oh, here we go. I'll take fries from Burger King, Arby's, Chick-fil-A, Bojangles. I've never been to a Bojangles. And Wendy's, just to name a few, over McDonald's French fries any day. Out of the ones that I've had, only Burger King comes close to McDonald's, and that's only because they changed their formula to more closely emulate McDonald's.
Yeah. I go to Burger King for the onion rings. I go to Jack in the Box for the seasoned curly fries.
There's no Jack in the Box out here.
I was in Hawaii for a little bit.
In the South, there's a place called Checkers, and they have pretty damn good fries.
Better than McDonald's?
Yes.
Is Checkers fast food, though?
They are. Okay. All right. Perfect, yeah.
among that group is a percentage, although a very likely small, that is willing to fight over an order of McDonald's French fries. A few tow truck drivers in Virginia proved that they were in this elite club this past Thursday night.
Did they start snapping their fingers menacingly before riding? And
You're going to laugh when you hear what this was called.
Okay.
An altercation broke out between tow truck drivers from Aces Towing and staff members at McDonald's in Falmouth, Virginia.
Falmouth.
Yeah. It all started with a man pushing 50, complaining about his French fry order. The situation escalated to an eventful brawl with police officers that resulted in the arrest of several tow truck drivers and visits to the hospital for two of the police officers.
So wait, what are they going to call this thing? Did you get there?
No, that was it. They'll say it again, but the brawl.
Okay.
Right? They call this a brawl, okay. And you'll find out why in a minute.
All right. I thought it was like, you know, something cool, like the fall brawl.
If you're willing to brawl with police officers over that, what will it take?
The Ronald Rumble.
That'd be great, yeah. Fast food restaurants are forcing you. No, they're not. Fast food restaurants forcing you to eat cheeseburgers with everything on it? Oh, he's asking if you're not willing to brawl over fries, what would it take?
Okay.
He says, I live with a household of people who would do battle over that, but not me. I'm a grown-up. I eat my food with everything that comes on it. Really? You don't, like, specify? Like, if there's something on it you don't want, you're like, can I have it without that? Like,
I rarely do that. I just order what's on the menu, typically.
Yeah.
It's unclear if the fries were cold or if someone forgot to put a stroke-inducing amount of salt on them.
Was there the loomer? Was it missing the loomer?
I don't know. But for whatever reason, 48-year-old Jamie Morris filed a complaint with the staff. When the fry situation was not resolved to his satisfaction, the confrontation escalated. And so this other subheadline says, five tow truck drivers arrested after brawl with police over McDonald's fry order. The police were called just about 6:30 p.m. on a Thursday night over reports of an altercation in the McDonald's lobby involving 10 people. Management had asked the upset customer and his Aces Towing co-workers to leave, and they refused. So now I've got a picture in my head of a bunch of people wearing Aces Towing, mm-hmm. you know, like shirts, work shirts, and they're all doing the snap thing. Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, yeah? You better fix his fry order, right? Like,
Here's the real problem. He's 48, right? So he's probably not on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Right? Because several weeks ago, I had a problem with my McDonald's order,
mm-hmm.
and the management staff was less than helpful in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Right? So I just went, like, hey, Twitter, like, why are you undercooking your burgers, McDonald's? Mm-hmm. Here's a picture of this pink meat.
Yeah.
Right? And then I get a call from McDonald's corporate who says the manager's going to take care of it. Like, all right. Okay. So I go down and get my refund. Like, no problems. And the manager that I spoke to at the restaurant was cool. He had the refund ready to go.
Yeah. I believe they're called McManagers.
Whatever. Yeah. But the manager on duty, not so much, because my complaint at the time was ignored.
Yeah.
And so I escalated. But I didn't escalate by, like, starting a brawl in the restaurant, right? I took down the corporate number and email address and then went on social media.
That's the smart way. You got to leverage it, man.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
Well, staff and a customer who stepped in to help them, the McDonald's employees, were going at it with the tow truck drivers when officers arrived on the scene.
Crowbars versus billy clubs.
According to Sheriff's Major Sean Kimmitz, 36-year-old William Morris Jr. was eventually informed that he was under arrest for trespassing. Morris processed the news and took off. He didn't make it very far before he was tackled and handcuffed by a deputy. After Morris was taken to a patrol car, an irate mob of tow truck drivers surrounded the deputy.
Good.
Now,
I'm okay with this.
How many people are in a mob?
I don't know.
Got to be more than 10.
Mob,
right?
It probably has a legal definition.
20
or 30.
Like the number that they cited earlier was that there was the highest number was 10 Ace tow truck drivers.
Okay.
So I don't know if that qualifies as an irate mob. But anyway, the tow truck drivers did surround the deputy, according to this article. They shouted obscenities before being dispersed with pepper spray. As one of the tow truck drivers was being detained, police say 27-year-old Jamie Raglan grabbed an officer around the neck and threw him onto the ground. He was tasered and handcuffed for his choke slam. Officers from the Fredericksburg Police Department and Virginia State Police were also called to the scene to provide assistance. When all was said and done, 5 tow truck drivers had been arrested, and 2 officers required visits to a local hospital.
So I'm kind of okay with that, right? Like, they got him for trespassing, mm-hmm. and then he left the scene.
Yeah.
That should have been the end of it.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To try to detain him beyond that, they get what they deserve.
We are out of time. Thank you, Kahuna, for joining us tonight. Thank you, Richie Rich, for participating as usual. Thank you to all of our callers and, of course, you, our listeners, without whom none of this would be possible. If you missed any part of tonight's program, please visit freetalklive.com and find the archives under the Resources tab. Thanks and peace.
You want to move to the free state, and you're looking for some real estate. Well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Realtor Mark Warden.
Now you can learn more about the awesome things happening here in New Hampshire in our march toward liberty in our lifetime. Our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, and political freedom victories. They also have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. Visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.